everybody. Happy weekend. Happy Labor Day weekend in the States. I can't believe the summer's almost over. But before you go on for your final...
Yes.
I want to say thank you for tuning in to Save City of Heroes. If you get the comic book reference I'm about to do with the intros, you'll know where I'm going with this. I am the goddamn Pogo Man, the host of the show. Along with me, my goddamn sidekick, Numero Uno Supremo, the goddamn Susie the Elf.
Hi.
And? Hello? I think this is...
Hello?
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 And along with us, the man, the myth, the legend behind the Titan Network, goddamn Tony V.
No, this is Nigel.
Oh, it's goddamn Nigel. All right.
No, I'm
getting...
Just...
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I bet you two don't get the comic book reference. I'm going with this one.
Oh.
You know I don't.
All right. Frank Miller, a couple years ago, about 2008, he signed on to do a comic book, All-Star Batman and Robin. Basically, it was a retelling of how Dick Grayson became the Boy Wonder. But... he decided to do Batman like the Dark Knight Returns Batman. So instead of being old and like Clint Eastwood type and like almost not like a gritty, almost like psychotic Batman, he's like in his upper 20s, early 30s like this. Like he gets Dick Grayson in the car and he's like, I got to scare him. And he starts laughing maniacally and he's like almost causing accidents. And Dick Grayson's in there going, this guy's nuts. He goes, what are you doing? I'm the goddamn Batman. And it starts off, the comic book, the first issue starts off with Vicki Vale in her apartment. And she sits there and she goes, we have the goddamn Batman. And the thing is, everybody in the comic refers him as that goddamn Batman. And I know some people criticize it because it's like, they think that the negative thing on the story, on the series is he's treating a young Batman like the older, grittier Batman from The Dark Knight Returns, which is the Batman in his late 50s, early 60s. And they even made reference in Dark Knight Returns, I think, to where he changes his voice, sound like Batman, he sounds like Clint Eastwood. And so in this one, Dick Grayson notices right away, goes, that's not his real voice, he sounds like Clint Eastwood, what the hell is he doing? So that's where I got that from. I was just cracking up. Like everybody says, I was like, wow. Volume one of the collected series, the first 8 issues. It's like every character refers to him as a goddamn Batman. I've seen that recently. I saw some things where people go, I've seen pictures of him going, I'm the goddamn Batman. I'm like, okay, it's got to be from All-Star. But I didn't know. I thought it was like some specific thing that got him to say it. No, they all say it. So... part of my language, guys. If you're offended, I apologize. So how is everyone doing today?
I still prefer the bat fud.
What was that?
I still prefer the bat fud.
Oh, the bat fud? Hello.
Yeah,
I'm hunting jokers.
Be very, very quiet.
We're hunting criminals.
I'm hunting criminals.
He's got a bad muzzle musket out with a batarang attached to it. All right, so we got Clint Eastwood Batman, we got Bat Fud.
You know, one of my favorite line, it comes from Batman Beyond.
Okay.
The cartoon,
mm-hmm.
where the episode where Bruce Wayne's put in the mental hospital.
All right.
And at the end of the episode, the kid that was acting as Batman, since, you know, Bruce is like getting, you know, in his 90s, can't hardly walk. You know, I know he's not that old, but, you know, anyway, right. He's the old, decrepit Bruce Wayne. Anyway, the kid goes, well, how do you know you really weren't hearing voices in the head? In your
you know,
head?
I remember. Go ahead.
He goes, well, they were calling me Bruce. I don't. When I talk to myself, I don't refer to myself as Bruce. What do you call yourself? Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah. As soon as you saw, I'm like, oh, because I was like, I didn't watch many episodes of that series. Like, oh, I saw that one. That was great.
Yeah,
well, you know,
I love that. That indie was just
that was perfect,
brilliant.
Yes. when if you ever get to play Batman Arkham Asylum, to say it, he's talking to Oracle, and she goes, "Well, what makes you think you could do it?" And she goes, "Oh yeah." He goes, "I'm me." But when he says it, everybody thinks in their head he's saying I'm Batman. He goes, "Oh, he didn't say it. He said I'm me." You know, so that was a little play. Like he said it, but he didn't say it. But you know, and everybody goes back to that line. I'm Batman. Okay, you was in the chat earlier, and I haven't seen him. He disappeared.
I don't know. I'm just sitting here with a full belly.
Oh, okay.
I'm a happy camper.
Yes, I forgot to tell you guys. I finally got to get some pain block shots in my lower back this week for the first time in over 2 years.
Oh, so, your lower back finally, huh?
Yeah, Well, originally they were going to do it. They said for some reason another patient who has the same insurance I do, he got it last month. They went to do it, and they said they weren't going to okay it, so they're going to have to do an epidural in, like, my mid-spine. Hopefully that would just travel throughout my whole spine, take care of everything. But I went there, and I was like, screw it, man. They okayed him. I don't see why they can't okay you for this. You need this. You haven't had this in 2 years, and you're getting worse. So he said, screw it. We're just going to do it, and I'm going to fight for it.
That's good.
So, yeah. So, yeah, 2 years, and it's been over 2 years, because I remember it was 2 years in June when he showed me the letter, which means I had the procedure at least 8 weeks beforehand. So it's been, trying to backtrack, it was like March or April 2012 was the last time they did something to my lower back there. So we shall see what happens tomorrow.
Back pain is no fun.
No, especially
joint pain is no fun.
No, it's not. No. No, it's not. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I after my physical therapy session on Wednesday, I felt like somebody sticking a hot poker in my right hip in about 3 different places. Yeah.
Wow. Oof, I'm sorry about that. And I don't go to physical therapy again until this Thursday, because I usually go Monday, Thursday, but I haven't gone the last 2 weeks. I wasn't feeling good. Yesterday I didn't sleep. I woke up. I had such a headache going to bed last night. Not last night, the night before. I didn't fall asleep till almost like 6 in the morning. And I woke up about 9. I said, okay, I'm going to put the TV on and just sit here and watch it. Next thing I know, I put my head on my pillow. I'm like, I'm not going to fall asleep. I thought I set the alarm. Next thing I know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And my appointment was for 12. I'm like, damn it. So I had a call. But I still get all my visits that I'm supposed to have. Like, they didn't hold it against me, so... But Tony.
Yeah, I had to cancel my. Was it this week or was it? Yeah, this week I didn't go to my Monday PT.
Yeah.
Because heat exhaustion really takes it out of you.
Yeah, that's not funny either. So Tony, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't really planning on doing much of anything except getting some rest because I've been kind of overworked lately, but.
Because I was going to suggest something for you for tomorrow in Atlanta.
Uh-oh. Does it start with an N?
No, it starts with a D.
Oh. Is the second letter X?
No, it's an R.
Oh, okay, because that would really freak me out. I'd be like, DX? What the hell is DX?
Well, back in WWE days, that was D-Generation X.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I know. When I said, I'm like, why is he thinking D-Generation X? Dragon Con is this weekend, and I'm going to start off with one of the updates.
Hold on. Hold on. Before
what?
You do that.
Yeah?
Brian, what are you doing this weekend?
Who?
Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, same thing we do. Same thing we do every weekend, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
I just had to throw that in there. That was just, yeah.
Okay. So, I
love
news.
Pinky at the Brain. Yeah.
Yes. But I have news from Missing City of Titans. Yeah, Missing World Media, right? Oh, my God. Good Lord, that didn't sound right coming out. I usually just see. They're going to be at 2 conventions this weekend. They're going to have a presence at both. The first one is Dragon Con, Tony. It's going to be...
What?
They're going to have a Missing World Media present City of Titans tomorrow, Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, in Grand Salon E of the Hilton.
Shut
and
up.
No, I got to talk about this. Cajun Catfish, Jack O'Lantern, and Conundrum of Furballs are all present, and they have their very own panel. Mystery World Meet presents City of Titans. City of Titans, a spiritual successor to City of Heroes, is being put together by a group of volunteer developers left homeless by the closure of the game. Now, PAX is going on this weekend also. Nate, Dr., what do we say, Tyke Downs?
Yeah.
Himself is going to be there, and he's doing a panel called It's Complicated Developers, Relationship with Backers. Developers on Kickstarter need backers to fund their games, but what happens after the money comes in and the developers get back to work? We talked to a panel of developers who have run successful Kickstarters about how they handle development with thousands of stakeholders, learn how to use the pressure and feedback to make a better game without it being overwhelming, and about what backers could do to help. Panelists will include Matt Gilgenbach, who is the president of Infinitat Games, Ryan Dancy, the CEO of Goblin Works, Nate Downs, president of Missing Worlds Media, and Lat Ware, who is the founder of Crooked Tree Studios, and Colin Sullivan, an attorney of Crowd Council. That will be at the Sandworm Theater Saturday, August 30th from 4 to 5 p.m. And hey, have fun out there. So, Tony, if you go tomorrow, get your ticket for, because they're going to be selling the daily tickets. You go to Dragon Con tomorrow from 2:30 to 3:30, I think it is. You can meet and greet the good people of Missing World Media, of City of Titans, and say, hey, thanks for all you're doing.
And you could also see Captain Bacon's alternate ego, one of his alternate egos.
We just call it alter egos. Yes, he will be at Dragon Con.
I've had
lunch
with him before.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I've had lunch with him.
Oh, okay.
We have dined together. We have shared in fellowship.
Cool. I'm trying to look here. I went to their forum.
Yeah, IK the troll, or whatever. His troll character is going to be at Dragon Con.
Okay, cool. I'm trying to see. Somebody, Darth Fez in the forum chat, he wanted someone to record these events, the meetings, and post them here. There's only like 7 posts, and everybody's like, I can't make. One person's going to definitely be at one of them, and they're going to be at a table doing something. Let me see. Oh, Warden, he'll be table topping at Gateway. So there you go. That's the first bit of news from them for tomorrow. So I think that's very cool. So we have an interesting whole. All right, I'm going to check this call out. Hold on. Hello, welcome to Save CUH Radio.
Hello, caller.
Hello. They hung up. That was a funky number anyway.
Scared them away.
I guess so. I didn't mean to.
That whole take over the world thing.
I guess so. Well, they weren't even on hold then at that point.
Well, they could have been listening in the chat, you know.
Maybe. That's a possibility. I'm surprised we have listeners tonight just because Labor Day weekend and Cape. And I want to say this, our good friends at the Cape Radio Network, they are having Cape Con this weekend. I saw it earlier, Deidre / Diamond D is there. Got there earlier today, I believe. I sent a message earlier, giving the phone number, because he promised to call in sometime during tonight. Oh, and I do want to say this, belated happy birthday to the King, Jack Kirby. Yesterday was his birthday. He would have been, 97 years old.
Hey, wasn't your birthday last week?
Yes, my birthday was this past Sunday.
And you're what, 67? 66?
Not even close, dude. Not even close. Do I sound 67?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, how dare you?
Maybe?
No.
I mean,
no, I'm not even close to 67.
Well, you're closer than you were Saturday.
Nah.
Every day you're closer to it. Oh.
You're getting closer to it too, Toots. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but you're closer than I am.
No. All right, this person's trying to call back in. Let's.
Did you see my Skype message?
No, not yet. Hold on. Hello, caller. Welcome to Safe City of Heroes Radio. Hello? Going once. Going twice. Goodbye.
I just put him on hold.
Oh, I just hung up on her. I'm sorry.
I could have just put him on hold.
I know. Well, why didn't you say it sooner?
Because I didn't know you were going to hang up on them.
They've had two opportunities to say something.
Maybe they're having technical issues. Did you ever think about that?
Well, then the call was bad, and they should try and get back through again. Maybe I did them a favor. The connection was bad, so it wouldn't matter how long they were there.
I tell you, so rude.
I am not
hold.
Rude.
Yes.
I was being polite. I said hello, going once, going twice. But anyway,
you put them on
Kirby's
hold. If they need to hang up, they can hang up.
Do you know who Jack
anyway.
Kirby is?
Kirby
Crackle. Yes. Yeah. He was the artist with
I knew he
Stan,
used to work with Stan Lee.
Yes, he was the artist for all the big all the comics, the books that Stan Lee supposedly came up with. It was actually him and Kirby, but Stan Lee gets all the credit.
Well, see, what my understanding from the story my husband told me is
yes.
that when Stan Lee started out, he was basically just a gopher. And he worked his way up through the company and became, but and then eventually Kirby was working for Stan. Stan had the business sense to be able to move up and to advance, where Kirby, while he was very talented,
right.
he just didn't have the business, to he could just take care of what he did well. He couldn't do all the whole business side of it is what the story my husband told me.
All right, hold on a minute.
And that's why he ended up working for Stan after Stan started out basically lower on the totem pole than him.
Because he was working in comics long before that.
I'll be right back.
All right, I'm going to look this up again. I accidentally closed the page on Jack Kirby. Hold on a minute. Let me find this again. Because I know he was an artist for a long time before Marvel came around.
Didn't he invest Inc.?
No, he hasn't been around that long. Now,
I'm sorry. That person tried calling back in. I was screening the call.
Oh, who was it?
What you said? I don't know. They didn't talk.
Okay, I thought it was you, and he just said in the chat he won't be able to call in. Sorry. It's okay, you. It's okay.
So what were you saying about Kirby?
He was working for a long time. He was in comics. I'm looking here on the Wikipedia page. He got into comic books in 1936.
Hello?
I'm here. Hold on a second. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Hello? Somebody knocked on the door. Hello? Should we let him in the studio, Tony?
Isn't that a Paul McCartney song? Someone's knocking at the door.
I don't know, but there's a country song.
Okay.
Somebody's
right, I'm back.
Knocking. Should
sorry.
I let him in?
All right. Sorry about that. All right. I'm trying to read here his entry into comics. Yeah, all right. It says here on Wikipedia, Kirby joined the Lincoln Newspaper Syndicate in 1936, working there on newspaper comic strips and on single-panel advice cartoons such as Your Health Comes First, under the pseudonym Jack Curtis. He remained until late 1939 when he began working for the movie animation company Fleischer Studios as an in-betweener, an artist who fills in the action between major movement frames on Popeye cartoons. He says he went from Lincoln to Fleischer. He called from Fleischer. I had to get out in a hurry because I couldn't take that kind of thing, describing it as a factory in a sense, like my father's factory. They were manufacturing pictures. Around that time, the American comic book industry was booming. Kirby began writing and drawing for the comic book packager Eisner and Iger, one of a handful of firms creating comics on demand for publishers. Through that company, Kirby did what he remembers as his first comic book work for Wild Boy magazine. This included such strips as the science fiction adventure The Diary of Dr. Hayward, under the pseudonym Kurt Davis, the Western crime fighter feature Wilton of the West as Fred Sand, the swashbuckler adventure The Count of Monte Cristo, again as Jack Curtis, and the humor features Abdul Jones as Ted Gray and Sacco the Sea Dog as Teddy. All variously for Jumbo Comics and other Eisner Iger clients. He first used the surname Kirby as the pseudonyms Lance Kirby in two Lone Rider Western stories, Eastman Colors, Famous Funnies, number 63 through 64, October to November 1939. He ultimately settled on the pen name Jack Kirby. What was his real name then? Oh, he was born Jacob Kirchberg. Okay, there you go. Hold on, let me get back
Kirby's
to this.
Kirby's a whole lot shorter, easier to say.
Yeah, and Jack Kirby sounds cool. He settled on the pen name Jack Kirby because it reminded him of actor James Cagney. Okay. However, he took offense to those who suggested he change his name in order to hide his Jewish heritage. Ooh, don't do that. In the summer of 1940, Kirby and his family moved to Brooklyn.
Well,
there he met. Wait, hold on. Met Rosalind Roz Goldstein, who lived in the same apartment building. The pair began dating soon afterward. Kirby proposed Goldstein on her 18th birthday, and two became engaged. All right. Then he had a partnership with Joe Simon. World War II, post-war, after Simon. Okay, Marvel Comics in the Silver Age. Here we go. Several months later, after a split with DC, Kirby began freelancing regularly for Atlas, in spite of his lingering resentment of Leiber's early treatment of him in the 1940s. Because of the poor page rates, Kirby would spend 12 to 14 hours daily at his drawing table at home, producing 8 to 10 pages of artwork a day. Wow. His first published work at Atlas was the cover of the 7-page story, I Discovered the Secret of the Flying Saucers in Strange Worlds, number 1, December 1958. I'm trying to see here where he hooks up with... Okay, it was at Marvel with writer and editor-in-chief Stan Lee that Kirby hit his stride once again in Superior Comics, beginning with the Fantastic Four number 1 in November 1961. The landmark series became a hit that revolutionized the industry with its comparative naturalism and eventually a cosmic purview informed by Kirby's seemingly boundless imagination, one well matched with the consciousness-expanding youth culture of the 1960s. For almost a decade, Kirby provided Marvel's house style, co-creating with Stan Lee many of the Marvel characters and designing their visual motifs. At Lee's request, he often provided new-to-Marvel artists breakdown layouts over which they would pencil in order to become acquainted with the Marvel look. As artist Gail Kane described, Jack was the single most influential figure in the turnaround in Marvel's fortunes from the time he rejoined the company. It wasn't merely that Jack conceived most of the characters that are being done, but Jack's point of view and philosophy of drawing became the governing philosophy of the entire publishing company and beyond the publishing company of the entire field. Marvel took Jack and used him as a primer. They would get artists, and they taught them the ABCs, which amounted to learning Jack Kirby. Jack was like the Holy Scripture, and they simply had to follow him without deviation. That's what was told to me. It was how they taught everyone to reconcile all those opposing attitudes to one single master point of view. Okay?
Okay.
There you go. So I knew he worked alongside him. He wasn't like an up-and-comer when he joined Stan Lee.
But Stan Lee had already been working for him, and he started out lower on the rung than Jack Kirby did. And then as Stan Lee moved up, they started working together, and then worked together, and then Stan Lee moved up to editor-in-chief, and it then became that Jack Kirby was working for him. And, you know, when he started out, Stan Lee was lower on the totem pole than he was.
Yeah, but I think without Kirby, trust me, without Kirby's style, I don't think they would have been as successful.
I'm not saying that.
Right. Stanley is definitely a promoter. I mean, forget, the guy is 93 years old, and if you see him, like, video outtakes of him at conventions these days, oh, like, he is still, you know, as strong as ever.
He's the man.
Yeah, he is a promoter. Like, that's his thing. He is a promoter, and he's very good at it.
I saw something in Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook? Or somewhere that mm-hmm. said, just think in the Marvel universe that at any given one time there's mm-hmm. hundreds of people walking around looking and sounding just like Stan Lee.
Really?
Hmm. Think about it, because he appears in every Marvel movie.
Almost every movie.
Yeah. I mean, just about every single one of them, he's had some little bit part.
Oh, yeah.
It may not have been much, but he had some little part. You know, he was the librarian in The Amazing Spider-Man.
My favorite was in Iron Man 2, he played Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. A Hugh Hefner likes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, he's called Hugh. He calls him Hugh in that one.
Oh, he did? I never
caught
that.
Yeah, and he has like a satin robe on like Hugh Hefner does. He's surrounded by the hot models, so.
And, you know, I mean, he appeared in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he was kind of a Hugh Hefner-esque type guy.
Yes, he was.
I don't know if he was being, you know, but it was a Hugh Hefner-esque type guy.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought it was funny, though, that they said, you know, if any given time, there's hundreds of people walking around looking and sounding just like Stanley.
All right.
It will be a sad day when we lose Dan the Man.
Oh, God, yes, it will be. All right, I want to get to some news because we do have, remember last week.
You just jinxed it. Oh.
What? Oh, God, yes. Well, maybe not. Come on now. I think everybody says that every once in a while.
He's in Donner now.
Well, all right. I do want to talk about this.
Well, he's freaking 93, okay? It's not like he's only, you know, 3.
Right. All right. Earlier we were talking about DragonCon, and we've talked about this convention coming up many times on the show. October 9th through the 12th will be the New York Comic Con. I'm going to post the link in the chat here because they have earlier this week, as we talked about this year's Batman 75th anniversary, Francis Manapul did a poster for the Comic Con, for New York Comic Con, and it's Batman on the poster. And what they did was on him, they did a map or a partial map of the 5 boroughs. And that's going to be the official poster you can pick up at New York Comic Con this year. I'm going to post that there so you can check that out. And they are saying that some comic book stores have tickets that you could buy. I don't know which ones. They're not saying. They said limited tickets are still available at select comic book shops. I don't know which ones. I do know that if you go to the New York Comic Con website, the only thing they have available is Thursday for $35. And like I said, if I had money to spend on, you know, swag there, this would be one of the things I would probably pick up. Just be able to celebrate the 75th anniversary of Batman and say I went to New York Comic Con this year.
How much is it?
They're not saying how much the poster is.
Mm.
I wish I knew. I would try and find somebody who's going and say, hey, pick one up. I'll pay you back. If anybody's going to Comic-Con, who is getting
talked to? That's pretty cool.
That is a nice post. I do like that.
Pretty
that
cool.
That is nice, too. Yeah. That's very cool.
Don't look at me. I'm not going.
Well, yeah.
I'm not either.
Yeah, sorry. All right. I do have
I'm actually not doing soccer this weekend.
Wow. Well, it's Labor Day. I'm sure a lot of people don't have a... don't want to do soccer.
But next weekend?
You're probably pissed, right?
story.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy news. A couple of things here.
Tripp isn't here, can we finally talk about Guardians of the Galaxy?
Sure. I have 3 pieces of news to talk about first, and then we'll do that. It says here, not only is Guardians of the Galaxy the best movie this summer and recently crossed the $500 million mark, but Iron Man himself, Robert Downey Jr., states it's the best Marvel movie ever. He was speaking with the Toronto Sun about his latest movie coming out, The Judge, and Robert Downey Jr. had the following to say. Galaxy, in some ways, is the best Marvel movie ever. And it's odd for someone with, on occasion, an ego the size of mine to actually say that. Similar to the first Iron Man, Guardians was considered a gamble, as well as it's the first Marvel space movie. Robert Downey Jr. notes that the success of the previous Marvel films enabled Guardians to do so well. And he's quoted here saying, we're talking about how the Iron Mans and the Thors and the Captain Americas and the Avengers movies have afforded Marvel the opportunity to essentially take what was a third-tier minor, kind of upstart bit of potential from one of their comic book series and say, look! He then compared the Guardians of the Galaxy to winning the Super Bowl. He says, it's like you have a great quarterback, and his brother plays for another team. And then you say, look, this is their second cousin. We think he's a great arm, and he should start, and then he goes and wins the Super Bowl. Which is basically what happened with Guardians of the Galaxy. in a nutshell. Now, I want to say this. All right, this might be a bit of a spoiler for those who haven't seen it yet. Many people speculate on this. There's a cocoon in Thor 2 in the post-credit scene, and in Guardians of the Galaxy is part of the collector's collection. And they are now confirming it is the character Adam Warlock. Director James Gunn confirmed the news to Empire Online in a spoiler podcast where Gunn gave a rundown of the items featured in the collection. So, okay, this is a quote from that podcast. It says here, many people may look up to the right of the collector. As we first see the collector, we push in on him, and you will see a certain duck named Howard that turns to look at the group. That's one of my favorite little things. The background there is the Slither creatures from my movie Slither behind the collector. Those guys are pretty obvious. You have Adam Warlock's cocoon. You have also sorts of characters from other Marvel movies. The Dark Elf back there, who was played by Doug Jones, who's one of our stunt guys that had the Dark Elf makeup on. So you had a lot of different guys in the background. Gunn also adds that the collector has more than one museum, with the one shown in Guardians of the Galaxy being the Nowhere Wing, because that was a planet. I'm going to post this here, and you can see pictures of everything that...
Yeah, when they show, I looked at my husband, I said...
Wait, did Tony see it yet?
Really? Seriously?
Tony, did you see Guardians yet? Is Tony here?
Me?
Did you
no,
see Guardians?
I haven't, no.
Oh, we can't talk about spoilers. Okay, I do want to say, okay, this is one more bit of news. It's about Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's about the animated series that was reported at Comic-Con. It says here, at the recent Comic-Con, Marvel revealed what was said to be test footage for Guardians of the Galaxy animated series. Now it's being said that it was only test footage an animator was working on and not for a cartoon. Marvel Comics... What's this scraping? A former Marvel Comics editor turned Marvel's VP of current animation, Steven Wacker, let the following be known on CBR. Oh, Albert, we definitely did not announce a Guardians of the Galaxy animated series. We just showed some test footage that one of our animators, Leo Riley, was working on. We have seen the GOTG guest star in all of our current animated series, though, and you can expect more to come as the year goes on. Wacker then goes on to confirm that he knew about the Guardians of the Galaxy movie years ago. Even though the new Bendis comic debuted 2 years ago, Marvel canceled Abnett and Lanning's run in 2010. All that said, I was as excited about the movie as anyone, and certainly knowing the behind-the-scenes conversations about the past few years, thanks to working on the comic, made it an even deeper experience. I really have to extend the kudos not only to the Marvel Studio folks, but to everyone in publishing, starting with Bill Roseman, Dan Abnett, Andy Lanning, and Paul Pelletier, who all got the ball rolling. Wacker actually called me a liar for calling Marvel out about canceling DNA's run due to the movie, and also about Axel Alonso canceling Marvel Cosmic to give it to Loeb. Wacker also posted numerous times that the reason for the cancellation was sales and harassed numerous Richard Rider Nova fans. Recently, Marvel editor Bill Roseman stated sales were rock solid, and Joe Quesada even stated previously sales weren't the main factor. Wacker is known for trolling various comic book forums and has been given the name Whackjob. Wasn't that interesting? Okay, now, with that $500 million, here's the news for Guardians of the Galaxy. It's surpassing the likes of Michael Bay's Transformers Age of Extinction. To date, now this is from my birthday, Sunday, August 24th. To date, Guardians of the Galaxy has total domestic gross of about $252 million. It's up more than that. Transformers 4 brought in about $244 million in the U.S. total. Guardians of the Galaxy is also performing better than, ready for this, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Godzilla, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and X-Men Days of Future Past. Guardians is also trailing Captain America 2 by only about $8 million in the U.S. and has passed Thor 2 as well. And currently, this is from Sunday, so it says here, currently Guardians of the Galaxy has total worldwide gross of $489.4 million. Of course, we know that's over $5 million now. It made $11 million since Sunday. And as we know, even at Comic-Con, they announced this. Marvel has given the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel a July 28, 2017 release date. And I don't have the article, Susie, but you know that little Groot thing that everyone wanted to see a toy of?
Mm-hmm.
Without giving spoilers? They are making one. They are working on it, I've heard.
Cool. You know how I do the rubber band bracelets and all?
Yes.
One of the people who I follow that designs a bunch of different stuff for the loom did a Groot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cute. But But I don't have stuff to make one, so. But it is cute.
Okay. Let me see here. Where am I? All right.
Why, you want me to make you a Groot?
I'll think about it. I was going to say, we have some Captain America news. With all the recent talk about what comic book characters are going to be given on-screen adaptions in the near future, it's pretty easy to forget that we already have a whole heap of superhero films out there, one of which is still the highest-grossing film of the year, and there's been a small child worth of information leaked out about the next installment. Captain America is still the year's biggest film, despite Guardians of the Galaxy inching ever closer. I won't be surprised if it passed by now, because this is, you know, this past week it's made a ton of money already, you know, added on to the totals. And seemingly nobody has told the Russo brothers, who are back in the directing chair, to keep quiet. They've let slip that the film will begin shooting in April 2015 in Atlanta. Tony?
Tony, you need to go be an extra.
Captain America 3. Captain America 3.
Oh, hell with the extra. I want to be the villain.
That'll be April 2015. They'll be filming in Atlanta. And the scriptwriters from the last two installments, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, will return. They actually already handed in their first draft. The film will see the return of the Winter Soldier and will explore the character far more than in the previous film, while Frank Grillo's character will become the villain, Crossbones. Unfortunately, the pair stopped short of giving us the title of the film and wouldn't confirm if Jeremy Renner or Scarlett Johansson will appear. Guess leave a little bit to the imagination, but now that was from... Okay, it doesn't say what this one was. This is from earlier in the week. And, of course, right after that, I found this article a day later on the 25th. That had to be from the 24th. Now, this is from Monday. They're saying here Jeremy Renner, who plays Hawkeye in the Avengers films, almost made it into Captain America the Winter Soldier, as the writers really wanted to include him and even had some lines in early versions of the scripts with mentions of Hawkeye. However, with Black Widow, Nick Fury, Cap, and the Winter Soldier being the focus of the movie, Hawkeye was let go in order to keep the script up to par. The good news is that now there are talks of having Hawkeye in Captain America 3, as Renner told the Collider the following. There are rumblings of Captain America 3. Don't know what's going to happen there. I've got to find the time, man, and he laughs. I'm trying to stay home and I can't. So it sounds like, once again, the writers for Captain America 3 want Hawkeye in the film, but this time maybe it's up to Renner. Hawkeye and Jeremy Renner will also be featured in next May's The Avengers Age of Ultron. And I have here new images of Renner as Hawkeye. And I'll post that in the chat for everybody to see.
You know, one of my favorite memes that I've seen on Facebook was, it says, I didn't think Hawkeye had superhero powers until he shot me in the ass.
No, okay, they're going to say the one about the knee. I was like, wow.
it might have been knee, but anyway.
Yeah,
because
that was the line from Skyrim. It's like, I used to be an adventurer until I took an hour to the knee. And then it was a joke. I used to think Hawkeye was a wuss until he shot me until I took an hour to the knee.
Yeah.
So the play on that, or Arrow, either one of them. Because, are you a fan of Scarlett Johansson and Black Widow? Because I have good news for you. Well, anybody who's listening. Neil Marshall. He's known for directing episodes of Game of Thrones. He would love to direct a Black Widow movie. He spoke with Vanity Fair.
Somebody will get their head cut off.
Well, no, that's George R. R. Martin who does all the killings. So.
remind me of some. After you tell this, remind me, I have a funny about Bean. What's his name?
Sean Bean?
Yeah, Sean Bean.
Let's see here. He spoke with Vanity Fair recently. Neil Marshall stated he is interested in directing a movie with a strong female lead who doesn't have a whole lot of superpowers. He says, I think I'd like to do a big movie with a strong female lead, whether or not she would be a superhero. I'm more interested in characters like Scarlett Johansson and Lucy. I'm less interested in people with superpowers because I can't identify with them. Very rarely do they get killed off, and when they do get killed off, chances are they're going to be back somehow. Yes, I'd love to do a big splashy movie with a great female lead, but it has to be someone I can believe in. So if Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, then brought up, I would love to do a Black Widow movie. That's perfect. I would love to do that. The character is really interesting. She doesn't have any superpowers. She just has extraordinary skills. And the world, and the world that she comes from, being this ex-KGB assassin, I find that really fascinating. Yeah. So while Marvel has yet to announce a Black Widow movie, a bonus for fans is that Black Widow will have a major role in the upcoming Avengers 2. It also can't be overlooked that Scarlett Johansson's recent standalone superpowered movie, Lucy, did pretty well at the box office with over $200 million. It's unknown if a Black Widow movie will get made, but Marvel does have a batch of untitled movies coming out, and maybe Black Widow is among them. And there's a whole list here of release dates, and the only ones that we have officially is that May 1st, 2015 will be Avengers Age of Ultron, July 17th, 2015 will be Ant-Man, Captain America 3 will be May 6th, 2016, and then Guardians of the Galaxy 2, July 28th, 2017. There's a whole bunch of movies that they have planned dates for going through 2019. So could it be one of those? Okay, what's your Sean Bean funny?
So, you know, he's in that new TV show, Legends?
Yes.
On TNT?
I believe so.
So they have a commercial out that mm-hmm. says he's been shot, blown up, beheaded. How will he do in Legends?
I know. People were joking around. They were taking bets. How long before he's killed off?
Well, he's the main character, so they kill him off. There goes the series.
That's true. Okay. Interesting note.
Yeah, but some people kind of viewed him as the main character on Game of Thrones, too. So.
Yeah,
I never watched Game of Thrones, so I wouldn't, I don't know.
He's the main character in season one, and in the first book, he's the main character. That's when I read it, I was like, wait a minute, what? So not only is this the 75th anniversary of Batman, it's also the 75th anniversary of Marvel Comics as a company. And what they have here, it's almost a 5-minute video of a very quick timeline of Marvel. It's a very cool little movie, and there's a link. If you go to marvel.com/75, you get more. You can look at the cool history timelines. And basically, the thing here is follow the history of Marvel Comics from the birth of the Marvel Universe into an age of expansion featuring the Avengers, Spider-Man, Thor, the Fantastic Four, Iron Man, the X-Men, Black Widow, Daredevil, Black Panther, Ghost Rider, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and many more. And again, I will post that in the chat, so you guys click on that link and you play the little video at your leisure. And then you go to the link and you can just check the timelines out as you want. Who here likes Mr. Potato Head?
I like potatoes.
You don't like playing Mr. Potato Head? You know, you take the pieces off and, you know.
Yes,
you
I know who Mr. Potato Head is.
Okay. Well, this time.
I have Louis Lazard's book, Don't Bend Over in the Garden, Granny. He knows them taters got eyes.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Hasbro has a new Mr. Potato Head mashable hero spot for the Marvel characters. Now, each of these is like 2 to 3 inches tall, I think it says here. They're priced around $6.99 each and include Spider-Man, Doc Ock, Wolverine, Hulk, Iron Man, and Captain America. Now, they're $6.99 each. So what happens is, hero up with potato superheroes. Little fans can mix and match the fun of Mr. Potato Head with Marvel parts to create a Hulk or Wolverine tater. It's easy to put the 2-inch potato body on one of the character bases and then add arms and a helmet. The parts work with other sets sold separately. So get them all so they can build a whole mash of mixed-up Marvel heroes. Each one includes a 1-inch potato body, 2 character arms, torso, 2 character helmets, and 2 character bases. Product features, mixable, mashable heroes. Set lets little hands build superhero taters. Set includes a 2-inch potato body and parts to build a Hulk or Wolverine tater. Includes 2 character arms, torso, 2 character helmets, and 2 character bases. So that's kind of redundant. Parts work with other sets ultimately. Collect them all to create mixed-up Marvel heroes. So, yes, you can make your own Wolverine Hulk. Or Spider Hulk. Or Spider-Man. Or Iron Spider. Captain Hulk. Yeah, I'm looking here now. Yeah, each one is sold separately. We have this extra ones. Yeah, I'll post a video. You can check it out. It's a very short video. The ones they mentioned have the extra Hulk and Wolverine have the extra sets, but the other ones look like they just have the one hero per character. Okay, any... Oh, besides me, Breaking Bad fans?
I don't watch it, no.
Okay, no. 1, series over. 2, they kicked ass at Monday Night's Emmy Awards. Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul, Anna Gunn, they won for Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress. The series won for best series. And I think the only thing they lost out on was best script, like best episode. But in February, is it February? I know I read this before. The prequel series, Better Call Saul, is coming out. And this is a prequel to the award-winning series Breaking Bad. It is set 6 years before Saul Goodman, played by Bob Odenkirk, became Walter White's lawyer. When we meet him, the man who will become Saul Goodman is known as Jimmy McGill, a small-time lawyer searching for his destiny and more immediately hustling to make ends meet. Working alongside and often against Jimmy is fixer Mike Ehrmantraut, who's played by Jonathan Banks, a beloved character introduced in Breaking Bad. The series will track Jimmy's transformation into Saul Goodman, the man who puts criminal in criminal lawyer. Let's see here. They already said, see, the first season will debut. The debut season will have 10 episodes, and they've already greenlit the second season for 13 episodes. And I want to say it comes out in February. I know I saw in the article before. I don't know why I can't find it now. I don't know why. I believe it's February it comes out. Maybe we'll see an Aaron Paul. Everybody's thinking that maybe somewhere down the line we'll see an Aaron Paul cameo, or he'll show up in a couple episodes. Of course, he played Jesse Pinkman. Okay, I know you guys aren't into The Walking Dead, right? See, Tony?
Yeah.
You're not into The Walking Dead, right?
Me?
Yes, either one of you? Walking Dead fan besides me?
I'll watch it, yeah.
Okay,
no.
Well, they have a trailer out. They have a Walking Dead video pinball game coming out.
Okay.
So I'm going to post the link here for it. I thought it was going to be a real, until I read the article, I thought it was going to be a real pinball game. I was like, that would be pretty neat. But it's a video pinball. You play on your computer you play it on. It's about a minute long. I'm trying to see. The Walking Dead pinball table is releasing this week. Okay. On PSN, XBLA, Xbox One, iOS, Google Play, Amazon, Mac, and Wii U. The pinball masters at Zen Studios have partnered with Telltale Games and Robert Kirkman, the Eisner Award-winning creator and writer of The Walking Dead, for his Skybound imprint at Niche Comics to create an all-new digital pinball table based on the award-winning The Walking Dead game series. So there you go. If you want something for your phone or whatever, you want to play some video pinball like The Walking Dead, there you go. You can enjoy that. All right. What does everyone in comic books hate? The reboot. DC did it with the New 52. Not a lot of people are big fans of it. So here's the deal with Marvel now. All roads lead to next May. At least that is what Marvel has been seemingly teasing. In addition to what looks like to be the Fantastic Four getting canceled, as well as the death of Wolverine, now it's become known that next April's issue of Avengers, number 44, will be its last. Retailers were told about a final issue variant.
Which edition? Which comic?
The Avengers, number 44.
Okay.
Issue number 44 of The Avengers will be its last. I'm sorry. Retailers are told about a final issue variant, the Bleeding Cool, for Avengers number 44, which looks to be released next April, a month before something big happens to the Marvel U. Everything looks to begin this September in Time Runs Out, as Hickman's Avengers issues jumps forward in time 8 months. Marvel previously teased Time Runs Out at a Diamond retailer convention, with it speculated the new event will be a Marvel Comics reboot. It was also teased that it will happen in May 2015. That will force Marvel to do something the company has never done in 75 years. More than likely, Avengers will get relaunched in some fashion, is our guess. I show here the video screen, and the first one says, in May 2015, .. and it goes, Time Runs Out. It says Avengers number 35 and New Avengers number 24 in September. Both titles jump forward 8 months in time. Find out why in the coming weeks. Yes, because all fans love it. See, the thing that got me with the New 52 is you had over 700 issues of Superman and Batman, and they were numbered away, and I thought that was really cool. And then they just said, screw it, we're just going to restart the whole thing. And from what I've heard, a lot of good characters were left out of the reboot. Like, one of my favorite comic books was the Justice Society of America, which is basically the Golden Age heroes, you know, and you have three generations of heroes in the Justice Society. You had the old school Green Lantern. The old school Flash was there. You had parents who were heroes during the Silver Age, and you had the new generation of heroes coming up. And they aren't even included. Those heroes aren't even included in the reboot. And from what I'm hearing, Diana Troy, who was Wonder Girl, who was part of the Teen Titans for the longest time, she wasn't included in the reboot either. But something interesting, about the same time, this spring, it will be the 30th anniversary of, what was the event called? I can't remember what it was.
The Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Thank you. I was so glad. Yes, Crisis on Infinite Earth. Thank you. Yes, it's the 30th anniversary of that. Because you remember when they did Infinite Crisis? Oh, God, how long ago now? About 10 years ago or so now, I think it was.
78 years.
That was about 10 years ago. That was the 20th anniversary. And they were tying up. They still had store, loose end store. They tied everything together. So now the 30th, people are thinking this is what's going to happen. You have the New 52, and you're going to have the classic DC Universe. And they're going to clash. Or something's going to happen. Because the way I see it, you know how Marvel had this Ultimate series?
I'm looking at you. You can't move.
What?
Sorry. Talking to the
okay.
kiddo.
Okay. Marvel has this line called the Ultimates. It's like an alternate universe of their heroes. See, now I'm waiting for them to say the New 52 is an alternate universe of the main DC line. And then they're going to restart the DC line, you know, from where it left off. Because you had some cool things going. You had the whole thing with the Green Lanterns going on. You know, all the different lanterns, Blackest Day, Whitest Night. You had R.I.P. Bruce Wayne, The Quest for the Cowl, Bruce Wayne Returns, all that. And then almost immediately you did this thing Flashpoint for 3 or 4 months, and then you went to the New 52, which basically just eradicated all these really cool storylines. So I'm hoping that they bring that back, because I missed the old stuff. I mean, they do say some of the things in the Batman, like I'm reading bits of here and there, and the Batman stuff, and it seems like they're trying to incorporate the old stuff, but it's just, I don't know, it's just not working for me. Like, a lot of stuff they say is really disappointing with that. Okay. Now, Disney's Bob Iger was interviewed, and he says the Marvel brand has arrived. Really? I thought it's been here for 75 years. And he also confirms Harrison Ford, they're talking about his Star Wars injury. And it says here, thanks in part to Marvel, Captain America 2, and the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, Disney has seen its third quarter profits soar. Disney CEO Bob Iger spoke with CNBC in the following video, well, I'll put the link in there in a minute, discussing how well Marvel has performed for them and how Disney will keep performing at the par. Iger mentions movies like Frozen and Maleficent, but also mentions that the Marvel brand has arrived as evidenced by Guardians of the Galaxy, which he notes was a good movie, but also feels Disney's promotion of the movie was a major factor in its success. I don't think so, because people just went to see it, and it was a good movie. I think it just did well on its own. Captain America 2 also brought in $713.6 million worldwide since April. Regarding the question of how Disney will sustain the success, Iger mentions to look ahead to The Avengers 2, Ant-Man, Captain America 3, the newly announced Guardians of the Galaxy sequel, Star Wars Episode 7, is another factor to consider, as well as the Pixar movies. Iger also clears up the rumors surrounding the Star Wars accident involving Harrison Ford, as he confirms the injury was a broken ankle. Iger also states production is underway on Star Wars Episode 7, and that the footage they've seen is very, very exciting. And if you want to see everything he says, I will post that video below. Okay, I have pictures for you. More pictures from the Batman vs. Superman movie. We're getting a lot of things here, man. There are some set images out of Detroit that reveal the Gotham City Jail. Says maybe with some sort of jail scene featured, with hints of police involvement or jailbreak, maybe we'll get Commissioner Gordon in the movie. Again, I'm posting this there. You can check out these wonderful pictures of the Gotham City Jail from the outside. And also, there are some pictures here of the Gotham City Police Department vehicles. Let me put that there for you. Okay, I have video game news for you for Batman Arkham Knight. Now, originally, they said this movie was coming, the video game was supposed to come out in October. Well, sadly, it got pushed back to 2015 because they want to take time to do the movie right. So there are two pictures here that confirm that these characters will be available in the game. The first is going to be Robin. He comes from DC Comics Multiverse Arkham Knight action figure that is available from Amazon. And also, Red Hood. This is his design for Arkham Knight for the video game, so you can check that out here. So it says here, Batman Arkham Knight is based on DC Comics Core's core Batman license and will be available exclusively... It says here, exclusively for the PlayStation 4 Computer Entertainment System, Xbox One, the all-in-one games and entertainment system for Microsoft, and Windows PC. Okay. This will be the explosive finale to the Arkham series. Batman faces the ultimate threat against the city he has sworn to protect. The Scarecrow returns to unite an impressive roster of supervillains, including Penguin, Two-Face, and Harley Quinn, to destroy the Dark Knight forever. Batman Arkham Knight introduces Rocksteady's uniquely designed version of the Batmobile, which is drivable for the first time in the franchise. The addition of this legendary vehicle, combined with the acclaimed gameplay of the Batman Arkham series, offers gamers the ultimate and complete Batman experience as they tear through the streets and soar across the skyline of the entirety of Gotham City. All right. I know there's a few Arrow fans here on this call. Yes, no?
Don't look at me.
Okay, Emily Brett Richards.
I watch Arrow.
Emily Bette Richards plays Felicity. She took to her Instagram account this week to share a behind-the-scenes look at Colton Haynes, who plays Speedy, in his new Arsenal costume. So let me post these pictures there. Get these cool pictures out. I'm very excited for season 3 of Arrow. Let me see here. Well, I did have some other... Something got mixed up on me. I had something before. Oh, okay, here we go. More Arrow Season 3 news. There's a casting change for Arrow Season 3. Rila Fukushima, she played in Wolverine. I can't remember her character name. She played the red-haired girl who was Wolverine's, but she said she's his bodyguard. She will now play the DC Comics character, Kitana. Originally, it was said that Devin Aoki was originally set to play Kitana, but had to drop out due to a scheduling conflict. So now Rila Fukushima has landed the role. Kitana, a.k.a. Satsu Yamashiro, is said to be a recurring role, with the character described as a Japanese martial arts expert who wields a deadly sword, a blade from which her codename Kitana is derived. She will appear in flashback scenes as a mentor to Oliver Queen and a critical influence on his journey to eventually become the Arrow at present day. And, of course, Arrow is going to premiere Wednesday, October 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern on the CW.
Oh, good. I still have some time to find that episode where the audio screwed up.
Oh, okay. Yes, you do.
Yeah, I quit watching because there's an episode that the audio's all jacked. The video's fine, but the audio's
really
jacked.
Did you try that website I told you about? Which I don't want to say over air. I will type it to you now. You can check it out.
Yeah, but I never could get it to work without having to create accounts. And
really? I never had to create accounts for that one.
Well,
can't you just, like, get it off of Amazon or something?
I don't think Arrow's on Instant Video, Prime Instant Video.
Huh. Okay.
That one site that you were telling me about, I'll go to try to watch the show,
right?
And I never can get it to work.
Each show has various different things to watch it through. You just have to find the right one. It will work, but it gives you several choices of what to watch it through. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
I'll talk to you more about it later. All right. What we have here now, we get a first look at what Clark Kent is going to look like in Batman vs. Superman. However, it's not Henry Cavill, it's a stunt double, which more than likely means Clark will be involved in some sort of action. So there you go. Check out the picture of the stunt double, Clark Kent. Okay, I'm a fan of the Underworld series of movies. However, I was not a fan of the last movie. But now they're reporting the Underworld franchise that starred Kate Beckinsale is getting a Hollywood reboot. They said Lakeshore Entertainment is moving forward with a reboot of the vampire flicks, hiring Corey Goodman to write the script.
Which, I'm sorry, which vampire flicks?
Underworld, the one with Kate Beckinsale. The last movie was, I think, was the worst, and they're saying that was the highest grossing one. Yeah, the first
two. I don't watch vampire movies.
All right. Well,
have a caller on hold?
Do we?
Yes.
Goodness, I'm sorry. All right, let's bring this caller on. Hello, caller. Welcome to Save CUH Radio.
Why, hello from CaveCon 2014, San Antonio, Texas. Diamond D reported in. How are you guys this evening?
Hi, Petra.
It's CaveCon. CaveCon. 2004. I need an echo for that. How is CaveCon 2014 going? Our floor reporter, Diamond D, on the floor of CaveCon.
Yeah, I'm like the roaming reporter, or rolling reporter, whatever it's called.
Roving.
Roving.
So
a roving
I am. Yes. Field reporter Diamond D checking in with you guys. Letting you know everything is going great. Much fun has been had. We had the broadcast party last night, and a bunch of people showed up today, so we've doubled the numbers. We're currently sitting in the Drury Inn lobby, where we just had our free meal for the day, so that was totally awesome. This place is great. San Antonio is great. The Riverwalk's great. And
can I ask a question? Was your free meal? What was your free meal of the day?
Well, they had a spread. They had baked potatoes. They had hot dogs. They had nachos. They had Italian meatballs, like a marinara sauce with some noodles, salad. I mean, it was a pretty good spread. You know, it was free. Come on. Like you said, well, what is it you usually say at this point?
Oh, free is good in today's economy.
Good.
Yes, free
is good
in today's economy. Yes.
Now,
and they
did
also,
they give you... I was going to say, did they give you your choice of free meal today, or is it just like today's free meal is dinner?
Well, no. I mean, you get to go up. It's kind of like buffet style. You get to pick and, you know, pick and choose. So it's not only do they give you a decent breakfast, which I didn't have this one, but they give you, you know, a good spread for dinner, too. It's like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice.
For you alcoholic types, they do give you three free drinks on the house.
All right. Why am I not there? I like it.
I don't know.
And
when you go home from San Antonio, you should swing up through Oklahoma City.
You know, yeah. Let me tell you. Okay, so the first 12 hours of our trip, I drove from basically Cincinnati to a little past Arkansas. We were about south west of Memphis when we decided to pull over it was the morning, rest a couple hours. The longest leg of the trip was getting from Texarkana to San Antonio.
Oof. And whom are you traveling with?
Lake Texarkana. That's pretty. It's a pretty area, Lake Texarkana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a pretty area.
I can't help but think whenever I hear Texarkana, I think of the Jerry Reed Bandit song.
Yeah.
That shows my age right there.
Well, who did you travel with?
I drove with, Joe, Kitty, and Papa Kitty picked us up. VC, Vindictive Cat, he was in with us.
Okay.
So it was in Miss V, so it was five of us in the van trucking down to San Antonio.
Cool. How's the weather down there?
Hot.
Oh, yeah, your eyes will fucking bleed.
Oh, God.
Hot and humid. That's what it is.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That is Texas. Yeah. That is.
I think we had a heat wave yesterday. It got up to 88 degrees yesterday.
Shut up.
That is the hottest.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling him every time.
That is the hottest thing, though.
I'm like,
shut up.
It's been getting up into the hundreds here.
Susie, I'm not bragging. We're annoyed because usually we get up in the 90s here. We have not had pool weather all summer here. It was like three days the entire summer we got to go in the pool.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of truth behind that because up in Cincinnati, you know, it didn't actually start getting hot and humid until kids went back to school.
Yeah. And next week, they originally said it was supposed to go up to the high 80s again, and now they're changing that because they're saying there's a chance for rain all next week except for Wednesday and Thursday, but it's going to be in the low 80s now. They're changing their story. Because we're here in conflicts. It's either going to be an Indian summer or we're getting a polar vortex by the end of September here.
So rolling back to kind of what I heard was, on a whole, why does fucking Underworld need a reboot? It hasn't been that long.
The last movie sucked. Well, the last movie was horrible, even though it grossed the most money.
The last movie being horrible.
I don't know why it needs a reboot. I think it just needs another movie. The X-Men did another movie.
The Highlander series, you have to have another one to forget number two.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, speaking of this, hold on. I have another story of interest. I reported about a month ago that Wesley Snipes said he would be interested in doing a fourth Blade movie. He has signed a $3 million deal to play Blade in a fourth movie. And it's not a reboot.
Good. Good.
So,
I don't do vampire movies, but I did enjoy Blade because it wasn't about, you know, it was bloody, but
right.
it wasn't, you know, it was a different kind of bloody.
Well, now I want to bring this up.
Yeah.
So now they're saying that this would have, I don't know why they're saying, now this would officially bring horror movies into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though Blade has been around since 1998 in the movies. They're saying here, Joaquin Phoenix is in final talks to play Doctor Strange in the upcoming Marvel Studios movie, along with other rumor names, Jared Leto, Johnny Depp, John Hamm, and Jack Huston. But now they're saying, regarding Hamm said he was never approached by Marvel, and Huston said it isn't true as well, so maybe it is going to be Joaquin Phoenix. But now they're saying there might be hints that maybe, if that's true, Joaquin Phoenix as Doctor Strange might show up in the fourth Blade movie.
Interesting.
As a cameo or something, except that movie, or maybe, you know, just there as a character. So, yeah, I think it's great to do all these movies and tie them all together. I mean, the comic books, hell, you get cameos all the time. Why not do them in these movies? It's part of the franchise. I mean, if you own the rights to all these movies, God, put them in together.
I just don't see why Underworld needs a reboot. It was like the Superman movie. You know, why did Man of Steel, why did we have to have a reboot?
They had
to have a reboot after they did Superman Returns.
Yes.
Which I thought was great. I did. Here's why I think I enjoyed the Superman Returns movie.
Yes.
Because it was very much a tribute to Christopher Reeve.
Yes, that was the only thing I liked about it. It was an homage to all the Superman stuff that came before them. And you know what it is? It picks up after Superman 2, which means Superman 3 and 4 wiped out.
Yeah.
And those movies are horrible. So they got rid of those movies. So I was glad about that. But it
and
was
you know,
like,
and
go ahead. No, I was going to say there wasn't much of a plot. That's what I was going to say. There wasn't that much of a plot to it.
And you know, and people, I'm not like everybody else who's like, oh, you know, the property damage and Superman would have took him off. You know, I don't care that spoiler for those who haven't seen it. But okay, you know, the property damage, because I mean, honestly, that's what I loved about Justice League animated series was them throwing fucking people through buildings and shit. So we actually got to see it on the big screen. Okay, so you guys are probably the same people that enjoyed Justice League, but seeing the exact same thing in a cartoon format, now you're bitching about it in the real life cinema format. All right, whatever. I didn't care about
the
city kill.
Because the amount of damage that was done, it wasn't realistic to like the amount of people that were hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like in the cartoon, people were hurt. And that's a cartoon. Now in their movie, oh my God, where's all the wounded? Oh, they all escaped. You destroyed half the city and these people escaped harm?
Well, but also in the cartoons, I mean, yeah, people got hurt, but they didn't show like everyone who got hurt through all them buildings that they always constantly smashed. I mean, so I can give some whatever, but. And then, like, him killing God, okay, whatever. You know what I did not like, especially at the very end? Even Superman Returns did this.
Right.
What did Christopher Reeve do at every end of every Superman movie?
He flew off into the sky?
And he smiled for the camera.
Right.
I mean, just one little thing it really helped, not saved. Sorry, could have been.
At the end.
He didn't fly off.
No, he smiled at. Right, he should have done that. I think that would have been cool.
Right, exactly. Pay tribute to Christopher Reeve, fly out in space, look at the camera, fly off. That's it. That's all you needed to do. And, you know, even in the AFL Ice Bucket Challenge that those two did, I think he smiled more in that than he did in the movie. And I know it's not the actor's fault, so I'm not coming down on the actor, but it's like that portrayal of him sitting in the Superman suit showed the more human side of Superman, which was one of Clark's, you know, big struggles, you know, of he's from a different world, he's struggling with his, you know, trying to fit in, trying to be human and everything. But then it's
struggle
like...
struggle between what he is and humanity.
Right. Oh, they're leaving? Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, guys, are off to the Bonham Exchange, so CaveCon 2014 is getting underway, so I need to hop off here.
All right, tell everybody to have fun.
Deidre.
I wish I was there. Throw some. Okay. Is there any swag for you guys at the con this year?
No, there is not.
Come on now. All right, tell everybody said hi. Question for you for the Cave. Are there any DJs on this weekend, or is it just going to be a stream?
I think the broadcast party was last night, so I think we're pretty well. I don't think Steel's going to be broadcast tomorrow.
Okay. You know, I was in game last night, too. I didn't even think to play because I figured everybody was at the Cape Con last night. I forgot that there was a kickoff party last night on air. Oh, I'm so mad.
All right, guys. I'm out.
All right. Have fun.
Bye,
have a great weekend. Thank you for calling, Deidre. Have fun. All right. That was Diamond D / Deidre live on the floor of Cape Con 2014 from San Antonio, Texas. Yes.
Deidre was saying about how, you know, Superman in Man of Steel, he didn't smile. But, you know, it was a much darker character than Christopher Reeve's Superman.
Yes,
There was more the struggle between the Krypton side and growing up as a human. It you saw more of that angst and struggle, and so, but it was a much darker movie than any of Christopher Reeve's Superman movies. I mean, it was, you know, even when they had the, you know, he went turned bad, and which I wish it's kind of like Highlander 2. You wish you could forget 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, though, I personally enjoyed Man of Steel. And I'm a huge I love Superman 1 and 2. I loved them. You know, I mean, the first movie I remember going to see at the drive-in was Superman.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it's what I grew up with. One of my favorite cinematic moments is when the first time Christopher Reeves takes off and flies. It just was so beautifully done.
Oh, yes, it was.
And so, you know, I mean, so I really love the Superman, the first two Superman movies. But I enjoyed Man of Steel much more because it felt right. The way they told the story, it felt more of what I think Superman really, because he had that, there was a lot of struggle between trying to fit into humanity, but yet being this super powerful being.
Right.
It's kind of like the Amazing Spider-Man. You know, I enjoyed the trilogy with Tobey Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun, but I think that the Amazing Spider-Man, though, deals with that teenage angst and the struggle that Peter has, being, you know, the losing his parents and then losing his uncle and the whole struggle. But it also dealt real well with the humor that's always associated with Spider-Man. I think it did a better job of balancing those two aspects.
Okay.
And that's the way I feel about Man of Steel. It did a really good job of showing that struggle to find the balance.
No, I see what you're saying. Okay. I agree with that.
That's my take on it.
No, you're right, because I think this one, he was just trying to find his way. You know, like he knew something was different. I think this time he knew something was different about him, but he didn't know he was alien, and then he finds out, and like he's just trying to, you know, well, how do I fit in now?
Well, and then there's also the, excuse me, there's also the, it dealt more with him becoming super, that time in between leaving home and coming to Metropolis. It dealt more with that and the process, whereas Superman with Christopher Reeves,
right,
he's a kid and his dad dies, and then next thing you know, he's showing up at the Daily, you know, he shows up at and creates the Fortress of Solitude, and it's just the you know, there's more to the story, and the Man of Steel deals more with the backstory and how did he become who he is, and I really liked that.
Okay. I don't know why, I'm just not a fan of Superman. I don't know why it's so hard for them to do a good movie.
I thought Man of Steel was real, and it did. It paid tribute to. I thought it did a very good job, because there were moments you'd look at him and go, "Wow, he looks so much like Christopher Reeves,"
right.
And it just blew me away. Okay. There were moments that I'm sitting there going, "Wow."
I don't know if you caught this. What was I going to say? Remember the scene when he flies up into the World Destroyer, or whatever that thing is called, and his face gets distorted? People swear that if you could slow it down, they overlay his face with Christopher Reeves.
And it's a possibility they did.
So,
I've heard that too. But, so. But you know, it's one of those things, you know, I think they did a good job paying tribute to Christopher Reeves, Superman. But without making it cheesy, and you know, and that is one thing, you know, in Smallville, and I'm trying to think there, you know, in all of the Superman, the movies, like the woman in the train when he's running in Superman 1.
Right.
When he's running as a teenager, when he's running next to the train, and you see the woman in the train, that was the actress that played Lois Lane in the TV series.
Yes. And not Man of Steel, but Superman Returns. Okay, one of the few things I liked about Superman Returns, the scene in the bar.
That was Jimmy Olsen playing the bartender.
Right. Yes, you had the original Jimmy Olsen, and then the original,
yeah,
and you had a new one. But they didn't have the one from the 1970s.
Well, but you know, that's one thing I have really liked about the Superman is, and even in Smallville, what's her face that played Lois Lane in the Superman movies?
Margot Kidder.
Margot Kidder was a character in Smallville.
Oh, was she? See, I didn't watch Smallville, so.
I did. I watched.
I watched a few of them. I was getting up early in the morning. It was on TNT, and I watched a couple. But I gotta say, they had Hawkman on his character, and I was really disappointed with the way they did his costume.
I don't remember Hawkman being in it.
Yeah, he was in it towards the end. I think they said, and it was just,
yeah, in the last season, I really don't remember.
I don't know if it was
the last season. Yeah, also, you know, I have memory problems, too. So.
Right, but I will say this. I went to Icon a few years ago, and I saw Wayne McDuffie, who unfortunately passed away way before his time, you know. And I remember it was just funny. This girl was sitting up front for his lecture, you know, his talk, whatever. And all she kept going on about for the first 20 minutes was Smallville. And he got to the point, everybody was like, just shut up already. And she was going, you know who was in Smallville? This one. And then 5 minutes, you know who was in Smallville? And it's like she's a Smallville fan. I think she was wanting to go.
Just have a conversation about Smallville.
Right, and this wasn't the place because he just introduced himself, what he was working on. Any questions?
You're breaking up again.
Like he just introduced himself and said everything he'd worked on, right? He went down his list and everybody applauded, and he goes, and she had her hand raised. And she goes, yes, who are you again and what did you work on? Like, are you even paying attention? And what's funny was everybody was laughing after she left. Like, there was no panel for Smallville at the convention that year. Everybody's looking like, where did she get the... You know, and somebody says, you know what I think it is? I think she was annoying other people, like she was annoying us. And somebody goes, oh, yeah, there's a Smallville panel in here. So that's what we were thinking later that day. Like, I bet you that's what happened.
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those, you know, I do like the fact that they have done a very good job with all of the different Superman shows, you know, the Superman world, that they've paid tribute to what has come before. And I don't know what all they did in Man of Steel, you know, but that is one thing I have liked about the Superman world is the nod to what came before.
Yes.
You know, acknowledging without that we wouldn't have this kind of thing. And I really appreciate that.
You know, like, Superman Returns had so much potential to be good. Like, they did the homage, they did the tributes right. You had Kevin Spacey playing Lex Luthor, which I knew, or I had a feeling he was going to be the best part of that movie, which he was. And it was just, they needed something. Like, maybe, I can't remember the name of the character. There is a character in the Superman stories where it's a robot pulled by kryptonite. And what happens is he's fighting Superman, and he opens his panel on his chest, and the kryptonite just emits from that. They entered the radiation in Superman. And I sat there thinking, I think if they could have done something like that and made a creature that, you know, and found out that they could fuel this creature with the kryptonite, I think that would have been an awesome villain to put in there. Seeing this giant eye. But instead,
I liked
this giant,
it.
Right. Say, instead, the only thing he had was this giant island made of kryptonite. He had to launch into space, and then he fell to the earth. That's the whole... You know, that was it.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, like I said, I liked Superman Return. I enjoyed the movie. So, you know, it's... Yeah, I know you didn't particularly care for it.
Right. Like I said, it was lacking. You know, it didn't, like I said, when I already called that Kevin Spacey was going to be the best part of that movie, and afterwards everybody agreed pretty much, you know, it's pretty much. It's all right.
I'm only getting about half of your conversation.
I was going to say, I'm not really a big Superman fan to begin with, so what are you going to do?
Well, you know, I like it. I enjoy Marvel better than DC, with the exception of Batman.
See, up until the New 52, I was a huge... I don't know why. I was becoming more of a DC fan than Marvel. Like, I still read all my X-Men stuff and all the X-Men-related stuff. But I think by the end of the month, I was reading 2 to 3 times the amount of DC as I was Marvel.
By the way,
yes?
Amazing Spider-Man 2 is now on my Vudu.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I have to look that up
later. For those of you who don't know, Vudu is awesome. Whenever you get an ultraviolet, you know, you buy DVDs and it comes with an ultraviolet code. You can then watch Vudu on your computer. You can cast it with Chromecast. You can watch it on Roku. It's awesome. I have a lot of movies on my Vudu.
Yes, you do. Well, I said, here's the thing. I talked about this, but all summer long, I was going to do binge watching of some TV shows. Until the week before 4th of July, I found out IFC was going to be showing the original 1960s Batman show all summer. Mornings were Three Stooges for 2 hours, Batman for 2 hours, and then Malcolm in the Middle for an hour. Like, I would get up early in the morning and watch that. Well, I looked at the schedule ahead of time because they kept it for the summer. I'm going, well, what are they going to do Labor Day and beyond? Labor Day, they're doing an 11.5-hour marathon of Batman. And then the next day, they're not showing it anymore till the weekend. And then they're going back to Saturdays, 2 hours of Three Stooges, 2.5 hours, and then 2.5 hours of Batman on Saturday, 3 hours of Batman on Sunday, or 2.5 hours, whatever they're going to do, and nothing in the morning. But they started that this week. And what's funny was I never saw the last season of Malcolm in the Middle. They showed episode one of the last season, and that's it. I'm like, wait
a
minute.
Still...
So luckily I found on YouTube I could watch it. But this weekend I'm just going to be chill, you know, because I got the injection in my back, and usually I don't feel it the first day. I guarantee you after the show I'm going to start feeling it. Usually about half an hour, 45 minutes, it'll start to kick in, the anesthesia after effects. In all week, I'm probably much going to lay in bed, watch TV in the morning. I have a bunch of trade paperbacks from the library I have to read, a bunch of Batman stuff, and assorted comic books I took out. Like Kevin Smith, he wrote a comic book series, or no, I'm sorry. What he's doing is those comic book series came out. You remember how I said they did a comic book, they're doing a comic book series based off the 1960s Batman show. Well, Green Hornet lasted, they did one season of Green Hornet. That was a better series because it was much darker. Unfortunately, the ratings didn't say so, so it only lasted one season, but they did, they're doing a Green Hornet series also. I had the first two trade paperbacks from the library. Kevin Smith did Batman 66 meets Green Hornet 66. And that's in a trade paper. I got to find that one. But I think it just came out, so it's too soon to get that. But I'm going to be reading that. I took a lot of the Batman trade paperbacks out, so I'm going to be reading them all weekend. That was my planned weekend. Binge watching and binge reading in the afternoons. And then maybe next week I'll be able to watch Malcolm and get that. Tony, you here?
Okay.
Is Tony here?
I don't know. He's been quiet.
I'm here.
You've been very quiet, sir.
I have.
Okay.
Very un-Tony-like.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah, I hear a lot of static in the background. Okay, I have one more bit of news, that, and then we could do all the rest of the updates for the games. All right. This came out just yesterday. Fan favorite Marvel comic writer Dan Abnett, he is writing a second prose novel for Marvel called Avengers, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Now, he previously wrote the Guardians of the Galaxy prose, Rocket Raccoon and Groot, Steal a Galaxy. And he wrote the 2008 comic book that inspired the movie itself. But here's the basic plot of the Avengers, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It sees the team scattered to the far reaches of the globe. Captain America grapples with the forces of Hydra in Berlin. Black Widow and Hawkeye are on a mission in the Savage Land. Meanwhile, Thor does battle with an entire army in Siberia, and the Hulk and Nick Fury team up in Mangapur, and Iron Man battles Ultron in Washington. And the book will also feature AIM, the High Evolutionary, and the machinations of Ultron. And it's all according to Marvel.com. And I'm trying to see when this comes out. Okay, it's going to come out. They say look for it next April. Dan Abnett, Everybody
no
Wants...
Sorry. What? I'll tell you after you finish.
Okay, so that will be Avengers Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Dan Abnett, and look for it April 2015? Or is it 2006? It says next April. So am I assuming this 2015 or 2016? I say look 2015, just pay attention to the notes. So, okay, and that's all the other news we have.
Okay, you want to hear what I have?
Yes, let's hear what you have, and then we can do our gaming updates.
Greatest American Hero remake on its way.
No way!
The Greatest American Hero is getting a comeback at Fox. the cult classic 80s super, quote-unquote, superhero series, has been given a plot order for a reboot, reports Deadline, which is stated to be a new take on the 1981 sci-fi drama shepherded by the Logo movie, writers-director Philip Lord and Chris Miller. The Greatest American Hero creator, Stephen J. Cannell, daughter, Tanya McKiernan, will executive produce the new hour-long action comedy.
Well, you're breaking up there. Can you say that part again? I heard Stephen J. Cannell.
His daughter will be executive produce the new hour-long action comedy along with Lord and Miller.
Very cool.
The reboot will also be written and executive produced by Rodney Rothman, known for the 22 Jump Street, Grudge Match, and David Letterman.
Huh.
The Greatest American Hero reboot will chronicle inner-city teacher Isaac's adventure after he discovers a superhero suit which gives him Superman abilities. Unfortunately for Isaac, he hates wearing the suit and has to learn how to use its powers by trial and error because he quickly misplaced the suit's instructions.
Yes.
He also has to deal with a government handler who has very different objectives than him and struggles as to whether should he use his newfound gifts to help others or just himself.
Now,
I loved Greatest American Hero.
Can you
it
post?
It was so stinking stupidly
it was.
Funny.
You know what, though? I hated when they did the next Greatest American Hero.
I don't remember that.
That was the girl, and it seems that out of nowhere they decided that the aliens came back and said he's no longer to be the wearer of the suit, and they found some girl who was like 80s proactive, health, save the whale type, you know, and it just
so they ruined it.
Yeah. The actress was fine. It wasn't the fact she was a woman. It was the script. Everybody was just like, I think it lasted like 4 weeks. I think they did a full season, but I don't.
No. They did like a movie.
They did a movie. Okay.
Yeah, they
a
didn't much
TV movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it was supposed to be a pilot for the new one, and everybody was like really upset that they got rid of.
Well, you can get it on DVD at Netflix, but you can't stream it.
Wow. But did they say when this is supposed to be coming out? William Caddo-sing, when they got rid of him, that was like, ooh.
No, I read you the entire thing.
All right, I'm looking at it now, yeah. That's very cool.
I don't know. I have mixed emotions.
I don't want anything forced, and I want it to be in that same style. You know what I mean? But I don't want to be forced. Hey, look, remember when we did this back in 81? Wasn't this funny?
Yeah,
I don't want it to be so forced that I'm expecting canned laughter.
I don't know. Robert Culp is dead, so.
Well, if they're going to do an update,
just
you know what I mean?
The same.
No. I bet William Pratt would do a cameo.
Maybe.
He's still around, so. Well, with the new Flash series coming out, what's his name? John Wesley Shipp, who is the Flash in the 1990 series, late 80s or early 90s series. He's playing the Flash's dad in this one. They say he's amazing in that one. That's coming out soon. All right. We've talked about everything else. Let's get to our successor game updates. Let's start off with Heroes and Villains. This is update number 90. My goodness. We're almost on 2 years of updates from them. Here we go. Friday update number 90. This week, we've done some further refinements of the skill system to better integrate it into our power system so that the two of them feel more cohesive and logical when working together. While making these changes, we're naturally still following our main guiding principle of creating a power system that will allow players to make character builds in Heroes and Villains that are quite close to what they were able to create in City of Heroes, while at the same time allowing for a lot of extra concepts and play styles that were either never added to City of Heroes or were impossible to be implemented because of technological barriers. We've also been taking a look at the problem of stat and number inflation that causes so many problems in traditional MMOs. where bigger and bigger numbers are given to player powers and abilities in an attempt to give a sense of character progression, which eventually becomes unsustainable. As stats and numbers increase, more and more the game content becomes trivial. An expectation is created among players that the numbers will keep on getting pumped higher, and more development time is focused on the outdated concept of a standard MMO endgame, leading to neglect in other areas of the game. Our design goal is for all areas of the game to receive equal amounts of developer attention, which is considerably easier to do when the game is driven by stories rather than stats. Have a heroic villainous weekend, the heroes and villains team. There you go. I'm going to shoot over to Valiant Online. It seems here that if you go to their Facebook page, they've posted a lot of pictures this time. They're going with a new, more stylized character models because the community wanted something more true to comics and designs. So they're offering, this is their offering here. Look forward to seeing these models in the upcoming video walkthrough of Central coming soon. Also now, they also have a look at our base characters' transitions. Please keep in mind that this is the base character styling. You'll have access to a full array of sliders, which will allow for region-based body scaling for your characters. You'll be able to transition up or down from the current state. In addition to the use of the physique slider, this allows you to adjust your character's muscular definition. And then that was a female, now they have the male. And the same thing, they just have pictures for the men and the female. I kind of like these new ones, Tony. What do you think?
I'm not looking at them.
Oh, you haven't seen them yet? Because they were posted a couple of days ago.
Yeah, okay, I haven't seen them.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So sorry.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I thought you had time. I'm sorry about that.
You shall.
Okay. And then they have some.
I shall endeavor to do so soon.
Okay. And they also have more updates on the progress of Central. And again, closer and closer to the walkthrough. Stay tuned for some enormous updates. So I'm looking here. Very cool. They're showing various pictures of buildings and how they're going to look when they're laid out. they have a weird bunny character next to the wall just for scale. Just to give some scope size here. I think these buildings look very cool. I can't wait to see all this in when it's all set up and ready to rock.
I think they're making pretty good progress. I think they're actually probably closest to release of anybody.
Well, you know, they've been the silent horse on this whole thing because, you know, like Heroes and Villains and City of Titans have been making a lot of noise, and Valiant has just been quietly doing their thing, and now just recently they're making noise. So.
Well, I think the guy who's actually working on that,
mm-hmm.
he was actually developing, and I could be mistaken, but I think he was actually developing the game for something else. And once City of Heroes, the shutdown announcement came out, he decided to sort of repurpose what he'd written towards Valiant Online.
Very cool. I'm rooting for all, you know how some people are taking sides. I'm rooting for all three of these. I'm rooting for that. I'm rooting for the return of City of Heroes. I want to see it all back, man. Okay. There is a really long narrative here. Tales from the TCPD, the Ironport Fiasco composition. Do you think we should read this or just let the readers go look it up themselves?
Oh, I don't know. I'll see.
It's quite lengthy. That's what I'm saying. It's just quite lengthy.
It is quite lengthy, and it's not so much news as it is, you know.
It's a fluff piece. It's a very flavorful piece. I kind of liked it, but to read out loud, after everything I just read, my voice is getting shot already. You can hear it going. So, Sam,
yeah, I would probably just post a link and. Or tell people go out to cityoftitans.com and...
Can you summarize it?
No.
Wait, real quick.
Well, it's a story, though. It's not news.
Oh,
okay. It's a story. Yeah, it's just a story piece. It's a fictional piece.
Yeah, it's a narrative.
Right. Thank you, yes. Sorry.
Ugh. It's prose.
They do have
the update for Dragon Con. They did... Which I think you mentioned it, but
Yeah, I'll mention it again for those people who, because we mentioned right at the start, but it was time-sensitive news. So I'm going to mention this again. If you're listening now, you're just joining in, thank you for joining in on this Labor Day weekend if you're from the States. Okay, this weekend, you have PAX.
And everybody else that's not from the States.
Yes, thank you for tuning in anyway. Yes. Well, I figured they'd be here anyway, but, you know, Labor Day weekend, most people take off or whatever.
Yeah, some of us have no life besides soccer.
Yes, I know. And some of us got shots today, so we can't do much. Okay, two big conventions this weekend. And
what?
I'm trying to read the update. What?
I have no soccer planned for this weekend.
Yes, I know you said that. Let me read this so we get back to that. All right, Missing World Media at two conventions, Dragon Con and PAX. At Dragon Con, you will be able to meet Cajun Catfish, Jack, last name O'Lantern, and Conundrum of Furballs will all be present, or Conundrum of Furballs all present, and they've got their very own panel. Missing World Media presents City of Titans from 2:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Eastern. Location will be the Grand Salon E at the Hilton. City of Titans, the spiritual successor to City of Heroes, is being put together by a group of volunteer developers left homeless by the closure of the game. And that's a topic there. I'm just going to click on their link for a second. I want to see what this is. I didn't click on the link before. Okay, it's part of the video gaming track, obviously. So I'm going to read this here. Missing World Media posted, after Ubisoft shut off the lights in the City of Heroes. Ubisoft shut off the lights? Who wrote that? Several
what?
Groups sought. It says, I'm going to read this here. Now listen, this is what it says. After Ubisoft shut off the lights in the City of Heroes.
Oh, yeah. Whoever wrote up the thing, yeah, no.
All right,
that's a mistake.
Yes, that's a big mistake. Several groups sought to fill the void they left behind. Missing Worlds Media is one of those with their City of Titans. Stephanie Smith is also known as Conundrum of Furballs. As a staff writer at MWM, working on the COT game, she created the Fire of 1908 and keeps the rest of the writers organized. She's a force to be reckoned with, but not figured out, because, you know, Conundrum. Once a villainous necromancer terrorizing the Isles, K.T. Morris, a.k.a. Cajun Catfish, has joined forces with Missing Worlds Media to bring the superpowered City of MMOs back to life. Jack Snyder is a staff writer for the superheroic adventure MMO City of Titans, currently in development by Missing Worlds Media. Okay, that's what they said for that one. Now I'm going to scroll down here. So PAX, Nate, Dr. Tyke Downs himself, is going to be there, and he's doing a panel called It's Complicated, Developers' Relationship with Backers. Developers on Kickstarter need backers to fund their games, but what happens after the money comes in and the developers get back to work? We talked to a panel of developers who have run successful Kickstarters about how they handle development with thousands of stakeholders. Learn how to use the pressure and feedback to make a better game without it being overwhelming, and about what backers can do to help. The panelists include Matt Gilgenbach, who's the president of Infinitap Games, Ryan Dancy, the CEO of Goblin Works, Nate Downs, president of Missing World Media, Lat Ware, who's the founder of Crooked Tree Studios, and Colin Sullivan, an attorney with Crowd Council. That will be at the Sandworm Theater this Saturday, August 30th, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And hey, have fun out there. Now, okay, it's PAX Prime. I think that's what it is. Well, it's PAX. It's in Seattle, Washington, August 29th through September 1st, 2014. It's in effect.
Yeah, that's the main PAX convention. That's the one that I used to always get irritated at, because it's always scheduled on the same weekend as Dragon Con. And
right.
I used to beg the City of Heroes developers to come to Dragon Con, and they're like, we're not going to Dragon Con. We'll go to PAX.
I think they should switch every year. I think they should have alternated or had two teams.
You know what I mean? Since PAX is geared like specifically towards gaming, that's why they always went to PAX.
Yeah,
and it's closer. It's cheaper to go there than it is to fly all the way across the country. So.
Right, because they were in California, right. All right, so it's 4 to 5 p.m., so I'm guessing that's Pacific time, so that would be 7
yeah.
to 8 p.m. here. I'm wondering if they could record the, you know, somebody suggested record these so we could watch them later on. I'm wondering if they could do that, or maybe set something up on Twitch TV for these panels so we could check them out.
I do not know. I doubt it'll be on Twitch, but someone might record them, post them on YouTube or something.
You know, well, C2E2, they did Twitch TV this year. I think that was a huge success. All right.
I'm not doubting it wouldn't be successful. I'm just saying that you have to arrange all that ahead of time. You have to have internet connectivity and all that stuff set up. So.
True. All right. Here's the thing. We've been doing conventions, and I never saw Dragon Con on the list for this weekend. I'm going, how come? I had my thing set for comic conventions, and obviously Dragon Con is more science fiction and fantasy. So I know, so obviously I mistake that. Obviously the last couple of weeks we've been talking about upcoming conventions for comics. If you're into science fiction, I guess from now on we'll have to go to both categories. I'm sorry about that. Or even anime. Upcoming this weekend, besides Dragon Con is this weekend. Next weekend, the 5th through the 7th of September in Detroit, Michigan, you're going to have Geek Fan Expo at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel Detroit in Dearborn. The 12th through the 14th in Waimea, Hawaii. Hawaii Con at the Hapuna Beach Prince Hotel. The 19th through the 21st, Rochester, New York, RockCon. At the Kodak Theater on the Ridge, 500 West Ridge Road. Tampa, Florida, September 26th to the 28th, you're going to have SciCon Tampa at the Grand Hyatt Tampa Bay. October 3rd through the 5th in Tampa, Florida, you're going to have Necromonicon 2014 at the Grand Hyatt Tampa Bay. Wow, that's like back-to-back weekends in Tampa, Florida. On the 19th of October in Tampa, Florida, you have Time Warp Fest. I bet it's a Doctor Who thing. Time Warp Fest, come on. That's at the event.
Could be.
Yes, it's Tampa's premier Doctor Who convention. And you can look that up on Facebook. All right, so... Sorry. October 31st through November 2nd, Orlando, Florida, Hurricane Who. I bet it's another Doctor Who fest. Yes, it is. Eve Miles would be there. Gemma Redgrave, Ingrid Oliver. They were in the movie. Okay. Here's the full list. Eve Miles, who played Gwen Cooper in Doctor Who and Torchwood. Kai Owen, who played Reese Williams in Torchwood. Gemma Redgrave, who played Kate Stewart in Doctor Who. Ingrid Oliver, who played the character Osgood in Doctor Who. Terry Malloy, who played Davros in Doctor Who. Rob Sherman, the new series writer. Andrew Cartmell, classic series script editor. Dominic Lynn, classic series composer. J.K. Woodward, comic book artist. And there was something like, oh, very cool. So Florida's getting a bunch of conventions, man. I almost moved down there.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay, they've got the Buccaneers, so I can't watch the Buccaneers.
Well, I got Douglas Morton on my team, on my fantasy team this year. So, okay, November 1st through November 2nd, Providence, Rhode Island, will be the Rhode Island Comic Con at the Rhode Island Convention Center. November 14th through the 16th, you're going to have North Charleston, South Carolina, Atomicon at the Charleston Plaza Hotel. And wow, all right, this one's scheduled way out there. Next July, 4th of July weekend, the 3rd to the 5th in Portland, Oregon, Lee Harp Nerds Con at the Sheraton Portland Airport Hotel. And right now,
that sounds like a dating con.
Well, you know what? The website is temporarily unavailable. So I don't know if this is for real now or they're just trying to throw that out there to see what happens. So so those are your sci-fi... What was I going to say? Sci-fi fantasy ones. How much time do I have? I'm going to go back to comic book conventions here. Oh, what is that noise I'm hearing?
You have 8 minutes.
Okay. Really quickly, this weekend, tomorrow, Manahawkin, New Jersey, Atomicon Comics Expo, 31, the Holiday Inn. Sunday, the 31st, Richmond, Virginia, the Virginia Comic-Con, the Clarion Hotel Central. Next weekend, the 5th through the 7th, in Baltimore, Maryland, the Baltimore Comic-Con at the beautiful Baltimore Convention Center. I can say that because I've been there a few times. Actually, absolutely gorgeous down there this time of year. La Cruces, New Mexico. That same weekend, you'll have the La Cruces Comic-Con at the La Cruces, I hope I'm saying that town right.
Las Cruces, yes,
at the Las Cruces Convention Center. Melbourne, Florida, the 6th through the 7th of September, the CBC Comic Book and Toy Show, the Holiday Inn Melbourne Vieira Conference Center. Also, November 7th, Ottawa, Ontario, the Capital Trade Show Sports Card and Comic Book Show. In the beautiful city of Ottawa, the Jim Duro Recreation Center. Let's see here. September 12th through the 14th, Ventura, California, C4, the Central Coast Comic Con, Ventura Country Fairgrounds. And this one I'm going to. It will take place from November 12th to the 14th. I will only be there Saturday the 13th, Westbury, New York, Blood and Babes Comic-Con, at Mall at the Source. I have no idea where that is. I have the address. I have no idea where that is. Obviously, it's in Westbury because that's where the convention is. That same weekend, Montreal, Quebec, Montreal Comic-Con at 1001 Place, Jean-Paul Riopel. I hope I'm saying that right. Also that same weekend, Tampa, Florida, Fanboy Expo, Hilton, Tampa, downtown. Also, that's 12th to the 14th. Got a lot of conventions here. Richmond, Virginia, Wizard World, Richmond Comic-Con, the Greater Richmond Convention Center. September the 13th only, that's Saturday, Memphis, Tennessee, you get the Memphis Comic Expo at the Agri-Center Farmers Market. Also that same day, Saturday the 13th, Panama City, Florida, Creative Con at the Gulf Coast State College. September 13th, Bloomfield Hills, Missouri, Rudy's Comic and Toy Show, Birmingham Masonic Lodge. 13th through the 14th, Manchester, New Hampshire, Granite State Comic-Con at the Radisson Hotel, Manchester downtown. Same weekend, Bethesda, Maryland, SPX Small Press Expo. That will be at the Bethesda North Marriott Hotel and Conference Center at 5701 Marinella Road. The weekend after that, 19th to the 21st, Cincinnati, Ohio, the Cincinnati Comic Expo. I wonder if Dee's going to go to that one. That will be at the Duke Energy Convention Center. The 20th of September, Detroit, Michigan, Mecca, the Midwest Ethnic Convention for Comics and Arts at the Carr Center. Also that same day, the 20th, Asheville, North Carolina, the Asheville Comic Expo at the U.S. Cellular Center. 20th through the 21st, Portland, Oregon, the Rose City Comic-Con. That same weekend, Iowa City, Iowa, the MidCon Comic Show, the Clarion Hotel Highlander Conference Center, Bangor, Maine, the Bang Pop Comic-Con, Cross Insurance Center. Austin, Texas, the 20th through the 21st, MondoCon at the Marchesa Hall and Theater. 20th through the 21st, Orlando, Florida, the CBC Comic Book and Toy Show. Man, Florida has a lot of conventions. Holiday Inn Hotel and Suites.
Big state.
Oh, yeah, it is. 921, September 21st, at Caucus, New Jersey, the Comic Art Con at the Clarion Hotel, Empire Meadowlands Hotel. That same day, Livonia, Missouri, Extravicon, Knights of Columbus, 19801 Farmington Road. We're almost done here. Arlington, Texas on the 21st. Awesome Comic Book Collector Show at the Hilton Garden Inn, Dallas Arlington Hotel. San Antonio, Texas, from the 26th to the 28th of September, you have the Alamo City Comic Con at the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center. Nashville, Tennessee, 26th to the 28th, the Wizard World Nashville Comic Con at the Music City Center. Monroeville, Pennsylvania, 26th through the 28th, Pittsburgh Comic-Con at the Monroeville Convention Center, 209 Mall Boulevard, Euclid, Ohio, that same weekend, Super Comic-Con, the Euclid Square Mall Shopping Center, 27th of September, Tyson's Corner, Virginia, Schaff Promotions Comic Book and Non-Sports Card Show, the Crown Plaza, Tyson's Corner, McLean, also on the 27th in Hickory, North Carolina, the Hickory Comic-Con, Hickory Metro Convention Center, Wheaton, Illinois, Mighty Con, DuPage County Fairgrounds, Mount Dora, Florida, Lake Collecticon, the Lake Receptions. Just a couple more. Wow. On the 27th, also Greenville, North Carolina, Nostalgia Newsstands, Greenville, North Carolina Comic Book Show for September 2014 at the City Hotel and Bistro. 27th through the 28th, Long Beach, California, Long Beach Comic and Horror Con, the Long Beach Convention Center, West Palm Beach, Florida, PalmCon, Palm Beach County Convention Center, and rounding out the month, the 28th of September, Claremont, California, the Claremont Packing House Comic Book and Collectible Show at the Claremont Packing House. Can you say there's a lot of conventions in September? Because I just did.
I'm this close to those.
What was that?
I said, I think I'm going to miss most of those.
Yeah, I think so, too, because I'm nowhere near any of them. Except I'm going to the one, the Blood and Babes Comic-Con. I'm just going to be there on the 13th, one day only. I'm probably going to wear my AP33 shirt, too, that day. So.
I think you should take it.
I will. So if you see a big guy in a denim jacket with an AP33 shirt on, that'll be me.
I'll stop and say hi.
Wow, and after all that, we have 90 seconds left. I just want to say, Doctor Who started up again last week. Peter Capaldi's new Doctor. I was very happy. I was very impressed with his performance. I like the new Doctor.
I thought he did a good job. I'm excited about his run. I think he'll be good.
I think he's going to be great.
I think he'll be super.
All right, we have 60. Does anybody want? Okay, 60 seconds left. I want to thank, of course, Susie the Elf, Tony V for being here. I want to thank all our listeners, because without you guys, we would just be talking to ourselves anyway. Thank you for Dietra/Diamond D for calling in live from Cape Cod 2014, San Antonio, Texas. You guys have a kick-ass weekend. Everybody in the States, enjoy your Labor Day weekend. And even if you're not in the States, have a great weekend anyway. I'm going to be doing much relaxing and reading. And remember, don't stop fighting the good fight. Hold on tight to your dreams. Did I miss anything? Don't stop fighting the good fight. Don't stop believing. Hold on tight to your dreams. And hopefully we'll see you in City of Heroes or some city with heroes in it soon. All right, with that, say goodnight, guys.
Good night.
Say goodnight, Susie.
Good night, Susie.
And we are in the after party.
Woot.
I am wiped out, guys.
You are.
Yes, I am.
Is it a good wiped out or is it a bad wiped out?
I think it's a little bit of both. Because I think the after effects from the anesthesia are starting to kick in, so.
I'm up to season 6 on Stargate.
How many were there? How many seasons were there?
10.
Oh, I don't know, like 10 or 12.
Really?
There was 10 of Stargate, 5 of Atlantis, and 2 of Universe.
Okay, I just want to say this about that SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis. I was disappointed with both their series finales.
Yeah, Atlantis, it's like, okay, we have more planned, but we're ending the show.
Yeah.
They've left it open for a movie.
Is that why they did that?
Well, they're gonna actually reboot the original movie, I heard.
Yeah, I did too. Okay, I just want to say this.
Universe.
Yes.
Universe was just so dark. I mean, it was a... The set was dark and the plot was dark and I enjoyed Stargate Universe, but it was just really such a heavy show. It wasn't as fun as Stargate.
Okay, Susie. Go ahead.
I watched Stargate Universe. That's the only Stargate show I've ever watched was Stargate Universe. I watched both seasons of it. And I started watching SG-1, I don't know, a month or two ago.
I do not like Stargate Universe.
You can get Stargate or SG-1 on Amazon Prime Instant Video. But I own the complete DVD. I own the box set of the 10 season DVDs. So I have it either way.
I just want to say this. I'm sorry, really quick. Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel has released a new, since they crossed the 500 million mark, Marvel released a 17-second We're Number One Again spot for Guardians. And it has our favorite character at the end, Susie.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm lost. What?
We can't say for Tony, it'll spoil it, so.
I know.
I'm typing to you, so.
Yeah, but what's... I couldn't follow the whole conversation.
Hold on.
Say it again.
I'll send you the link. You can watch it really quick. It's a 17-second video. Marvel, because Guardians of the Galaxy passed 500 million, they did another Guardians of the Galaxy is number one again for the summer. Because Turtles came out, and for some reason, for the first week or two, Turtles, the second week Turtles were out, it took over number one. And then I guess the fans spoke out, and they all ran to see Guardians of the Galaxy. To put it at number one again, because I heard that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie was like garbage, even though they've greenlit a sequel. I don't know why they did that.
Look at me, not my fault.
I didn't see it.
Look on a feeling.
Sorry. You know that? Did you hear about this? I think last week or the week before that soundtrack went to number one on Billboard's Top 200.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
it's the only movie soundtrack to go to number one that is not original music.
Right. Yes, correct. That's right. That's how you know that's really good. And Tony hasn't seen it yet. What's the matter, Tony?
I said, what about Forrest Gump? It didn't go to number one?
maybe
I have
20
I have
years ago?
Forrest Gump soundtrack. No, the soundtrack, the Forrest Gump. It's
but that movie
came out
20 years ago.
But as far as I know, that soundtrack didn't go to number one, but Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack has.
Right.
Oh, man, the Forrest Gump soundtrack is awesome, man. It's got all those classic rock songs on it. It's got Elvis was Hound Dog and
didn't say it wasn't, but I'll just say that I don't think it did go to number one because everything I've read is this is the first one.
Right.
But it's got Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Is battery ever gonna freaking die?
Okay. Do you guys want anti-depression kit?
Anti what?
Anti-depression kit. It contains a penny, so you never have to say, I'm broke. An eraser, so you can make all your mistakes disappear. A marble, in case someone says you've lost all your marbles. A rubber band to stretch yourself beyond your limits. A string to tie things together when everything falls apart. And last, but not least, a hug and kiss to remind you that someone somewhere cares about you.
Yeah, but the problem is I'd spend the penny, I'd use up the eraser, I'd lose the marble.
That's why you keep in the little bag.
The rubber band.
That's what you keep in the little bag, and that's what open it.
The string wouldn't be big enough, and I'd eat the hug and the kiss.
30 years ago today, Ghostbusters premiered, and this weekend they're going to be releasing more than 700 theaters. I guess if you're listening to the after show, yes, 30 years ago today, Ghostbusters premiered this weekend. I'm sorry, 30 years ago, it premiered. It premiered earlier in this summer, but this weekend it's being released in more than 700 theaters.
I heard it.
Nope.
Okay, we got to play the song.
I always tried to figure out what exactly is Slimer?
He's a ghost.
What, someone died and their ghost is Slimer? I mean,
he's kind of a very strange
person who was, can you imagine Slimer when he was alive? I mean, what kind of...
No, I think it's just the fact he was a ghost and just created. I think that's what they're saying, like some of the ghosts are just ghosts, you know, not a ghost of a person, they were just an ectoplasmic entity.
But, I mean, every other ghost I guess the Gozer and Ghoul were extra-dimensional beings, but still.
Well.
I always wondered, you know, what was Slimer like when he was alive?
Yeah, I wondered about that, too, and then we had a discussion about it, and somebody said, I think we came up with...
Well, you remember Slimer was eating all that stuff, so
right.
I don't know. Maybe it was... way an overweight person came back. I don't know.
He was that Japanese championship hot dog.
Oh, the hot dog eater, yeah.
He died and became Slimer. I gave my sisters a soundtrack to that movie back in 1980, you know, whatever, four, I guess.
I remember sitting out in my grandparents' garage in the car waiting for that to come on the radio, the song to come on the radio, and turning it up and singing as loud as it could.
In fact, this is kind of funny. It's my middle sister, so I got her the album for Christmas, but I didn't want her to know what it was, because, you know, if you wrap up an album, it's just painfully obvious. Oh, well, that's a record, you know. And this is back in the days when, you know, albums were still, you know, vinyl. So, I mean, you know, you've got this, what, 10-inch by 10-inch, you know, by, you know, eighth of an inch wrapped up Christmas gift, right? So like I said, it's just painfully obvious that, oh, it's a record. And I wanted to try to, like, fool her, because I didn't want her to know, you know, she was getting a record for Christmas. You know, that sort of takes the fun out of the surprise, right?
Right.
So my mom and I, we came up with this intricate plan where we would, like, we took some of the Christmas wrapping, you know, the little cardboard rolls that come in the middle of the Christmas wrapping paper. We took some of those and cut it up and like, put one on the top and one on the side, and, you know, kind of munched it and took, you know, cut some of the little, you know, cut it into thin pieces so that, you know, you had, like, these round rings, and put some of those on the front and everything. We wrapped it all up, and, you know, so it wouldn't look anything like a record, but she couldn't guess what it is. And she picked it up, and like, within 2 seconds, she's like, what is it, a record? Damn it. All of our efforts were for naught.
Well, the Christmas I got my first CD player. And so my parents wanted me to open that gift last. But they told my brother what I was getting for Christmas. So what does my brother get me for Christmas? He gives me a CD, which I open before I get to open the CD player. So, yeah, I already knew what Mom and Dad got me when I opened my brother's gift.
See, my dad one year, this was mean, too. I wanted an Atari 2600 so bad, I just absolutely couldn't stand it. I wanted it, And the year they came out, I wanted one. I didn't get it because they were really expensive, and we didn't really have a lot of money. But, you know, the second year came around, and by that time, I mean, several of my friends had them, and, I was just dying to get an Atari 2600. I had to have one. So my dad, I'm at my dad's, and he's got a bunch of Christmas gifts for everybody, and So he's got two wrapped up for me. So I open it up, and it's a couple of Atari games, Asteroids and something else. And I was like, you know, oh, wow, you know, this is fantastic. So you got me the Atari. And he's like, oh, no, I just got you the games. I thought you already had the Atari. I'm like, no, Dad, you know, I've been begging everybody for an Atari. You know, I've got to have the Atari 2600. And he's like, oh, it doesn't work without something else that you have.
Oh,
to
good Lord.
Yes, Dad, are you kidding? Well, then he reaches behind the sofa, and he's got the big gift wrapped up for me, and that was what it was. But for about 5 minutes, I was so mad at
him. I think my dad bought the Atari for him, and we just got to play it.
Oh, yeah. I had the same situation. Because anytime we got a game, you know how, like, when you had the cartridge in and the game had all those different alternate ways to play besides the main version?
Oh, yeah.
He had to try every single, and we just had to, like, really? You're going to try all 99 different versions?
Oh,
you know, none
yeah.
of them were as good
combat,
as amazing.
With combat, you had the planes, and you know that you had the three planes versus one, and you had the tanks.
Asteroids.
And the tanks of,
99 yeah, different versions of asteroids.
Oh yeah, with the different speeds, and some of the some have the one where the asteroids would go real slow, and the ones where the asteroids would go fast, and
what.
One where asteroids only went straight up and down.
Yes, but when we got a new game, he had to try all the versions by himself first. That's what we got mad about.
I was in a household with parents who couldn't care less about video games and three sisters who never played a video game. To this day, they probably still haven't played a video game in their lives.
He was horrible at video games, but he had to try them all.
Yeah, the Atari was solely mine.
I had to share it with my brothers and my dad.
Yes, my dad and my brother I had to share it with.
My dad's favorite game was Donkey Kong.
Mine was Space Invaders, hands down.
I think my all-time favorite Atari 2600 game was probably Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That one irritated me.
That was not an easy game to figure out, but I figured that game out. And back in 1980, whatever, when it came out. And, I mean, keep in mind, these are the days before the internet and game walkthroughs and all that kind of. In fact, it was even the days before. Later, you used to be able to get, like, the guides, the Atari 2600. You'd go to the bookstore, and they would have books on, like, you know, game walkthroughs and stuff.
No.
None of that, though, man. It was me and the manual, and that was it.
That was a tough game.
Wait, ready for this one? One Christmas, after my dad and my parents got divorced, my dad got us, or they were separate, got us a box of Atari 2600 games. He got them at a garage sale. Half the games didn't work, and the other half we couldn't figure out how to play because none of them had the books to them.
I had some of those, yeah.
It was like, come on, man. And it's funny because that Christmas we were at my uncle's house, and he had an Atari 2600. We were there for a week. By the time we were done going through the box,
Going through the box,
I'm sorry, more than half. I think it was like 10 of them we could play, and the other five we couldn't figure out how to play because we didn't have the box. I mean, the booklet. So we're like, I think it does this, and we were trying to guess, and it just got aggravating. I was like, you know, these are simple games, but this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, my dad was actually the manager of a Kmart, and he got his hands on a box of Atari cartridges, like returns or something that they wouldn't take back from the manufacturer and everything. So he gave them to me, and none of them had manuals. And I sat there and tried to figure some out and never could. Like the Superman game. You remember the Superman Atari game?
Yes, yep. I had that one, yes.
I didn't have the manual. I could not for the life of me figure out what to do in that game. I should fire that up on an emulator now, but you can probably get the manual on the internet. I mean, also, like, there was a cool game called Entombed that I really liked. That was another of my favorite Atari 2600 games.
Which one was it? I remember we used to play Frogger. Oh, I can't remember the one where you were in the jungle. Pitfall.
Yeah, Pitfall.
Pitfall
yeah,
was fun. Frogger was fun. Space Invaders. The original Dungeon.
I played Pitfall 2. In fact, I was able to get a perfect score on Pitfall 2. I was so proud
really?
Of myself. Yeah.
Do you remember how with the Atari, if you got to a certain score, if you took a picture of your screen and sent
yes.
the picture in to Atari, they'd send you badges?
Yeah, I sent mine in. I never got anything for it.
Neither did we.
The game was Laser Blast, and if you got 1,000,000 points, the score went to all exclamation points, We did that. My dad took a whole bunch of pictures. We sent it in once a month for like 4 or 5 months, and we never got any acknowledgement from them at all.
Ooh, remember the Sword Quest game?
No, but I know you've told me about this.
On the forum.
I remember
you
telling me about this.
That is an interesting story. There was a series of games. They were called Sword Quest, and the first one was Earth World. Then they had Fire World, and then Water World, and Air World. And when they released the game, there was a contest that went along with them. And the contest was, while you were playing the games, you would get this series of clues, and you'd have to look up the clues in the comic book to, you know, figure out, you know, what it was supposed to be. And once you figure it out, you'd send in your answer to Atari, and they would get, all the people who, or a lot of the people who sent in the right clues together, and then they'd play a game to determine the winner, right?
Right.
And so they did that, and they had prizes. And, I mean, these were not chump change prizes either. I mean, the prize for winning Earth World was a medallion.
Right.
And, I mean, it was made of solid gold and platinum and encrusted in actual, you know, real jewels like rubies and, you know, diamonds and stuff like that. And the thing was valued at $50,000. The Franklin Mint actually created it. And so they had that contest, and some guy won it. And then they released Fire World, and they had that contest, and the prize for it was a gold and platinum and jewel-encrusted chalice. So again, the Franklin Mint made it, and it was valued at $50,000.
Wow.
And they had, actually, no, those were $25,000 each.
I was going to say, I bet by now those gold ones would be worth more.
Oh, yeah. And then they had the Water World. They were scheduled. They had that competition scheduled, but they never actually – they pulled the plug on the contest before it. But the prizes, they actually had the prizes, though. The reason they pulled the plug was because Atari was actually sold around that time. And, it was the big video game glut, and everybody was going bankrupt and everything. But they still had the prizes. I mean, the prizes they'd made ahead of time, so, and it was all from the Franklin Mint. And for the Water World, the prize was a Philosopher's Stone, and it was a piece of, like, white opal in this gold, solid gold box, and, it was worth $25,000. And then
wow.
The prize for Air World was supposed to be what was the prize for Air World? They had the medallion, the chalice, the Philosopher's Stone, and I can't remember what it was, but it was something else, again, valued at $25,000. And then the intention was, once they have the four winners from those games, those
right.
four winners would play each other, and the winner of that game would get the Sword of Ultimate Sorcery. And it was a real sword made of solid gold and silver and a jewel-encrusted hilt, and that was valued at $50,000. So, $150,000 worth of prizes. Two of them were given out. Water World, they pulled the plug on that, and they gave each of the people who were scheduled to compete in that, they gave them $2,000 apiece. And then because they pulled the plug on the final contest, they gave the two winners of the first two contests $15,000 apiece. But here's where it gets interesting. They
mm-hmm.
gave out the first two prizes, the medallion
right.
and the chalice. The second two prizes and the Sword of Ultimate Sorcery,
mm-hmm.
nobody knows what happened to those prizes. And
wow.
they're supposedly still out there somewhere. And Atari, they got sold a couple of times, and then they went out of business, and nobody knows what happened. And that's like one of the biggest video game mysteries around today. Is that there's still, at the time, $100,000 worth of prizes. Today, it's probably worth like $250,000 worth of gold and silver and platinum and jewel-encrusted prizes out there. and nobody knows what became of them.
I just there posted was, in the chat a link to the Atari badges.
Okay, let me see. Yeah,
how
I want to see what I should
them.
Have. All right.
I should have gotten barnstorming.
I know I should have got laser blast. Yeah. 100,000 points? No, I got the 1,000,000 points. I should have had that. I should have had both of them. That's bullshit. I
yeah, my
that.
Brother should have gotten the River Raider for...
Did he have one for Space Invaders?
River Raider. Hmm?
No, they didn't have one for Space Invaders. That sucked.
No.
I had Star Mash, and I kicked in on that one.
See, by the time I got my Atari, they weren't doing that stuff. But I do remember the Sword Cat Quest contest.
But, yeah. Well, they also made patches for the 5200 in Television and ColecoVision. But these were the ones I showed for the 2600.
Yeah, because you see how on the laser blast, the 1,000,000 point stripe, it's all exclamation points over the numbers?
For which one?
Laser blast, the 1,000,000 point stripe.
Mm-hmm.
I should have had that one. I know we mailed it in a couple times. I never got it.
I'd be mad.
We mailed it in 3 or 4 times, and then my dad, we wrote a letter saying, this is ridiculous. Where's our badges?
I remember on some of the Atari games, they had like a hand-drawn like a picture of like the building that was supposedly the Atari headquarters. It was shaped like the Atari logo, you know, with like a skyscraper with windows on the side. And I actually thought that that's what the building looked like where Atari was headquartered.
You know what's funny? I'm sorry. I'm on eBay right now. Somebody's selling the 1,000,000 point stripe badge.
You should buy it.
$14.
It isn't worth that.
Oh, that's chump change, man. You got that? Go look in your sofa cushion.
I'm gonna watch it. Because come on, man, I did it, and I've done it. I did that thing more than once. I did it like 3 or 4 times. On a regular basis, I flipped that thing over.
And just for the record, when I went to one of the player summits, the second one I think I went to, I actually went out to the old Atari headquarters in Sunnyvale and took my picture in front of the Atari building.
Oh, cool.
And here's what's funny, that building, it's empty. You can actually go out there if you have the money and want to. You can actually lease the old Atari headquarters.
Wow.
At least it was empty at the time. Someone else may have it by now, but. Good time, man. I tell you what, I spent so many hours in front of that Atari 2600.
Oh, my. I got yelled at. I flipped Space Invaders over 3 times, and I got yelled at to go out to play because it was summer, and I'm looking, it's like, it's pouring rain out. No one's outside. Like, you're spending too much time in front of that game. There's no money in video games. I rub it in their faces all the time. So there's no money in video games, huh?
I used to invite. We had a neighborhood. There were about 5 or 6 other kids in the neighborhood who had Atari 2600.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who suggested it. Somebody suggested this to me one time. They said, well, look, you've got, what, like 8 or 10 games. They have 8 or 10 games apiece. What y'all ought to do is all get together and trade up your games.
Right.
And so we did. I mean, we have, like, this neighborhood borrowing association going on where, you know, you could borrow games. And so, I mean, you know, among all of our neighborhood kids, I mean, we had a good, you know, 80 to 100 games between us, and we'd trade up and play each other's games, and it was a lot of fun. And then one kid in the neighborhood got an Atari 5200, and he had, like, 3 games for it. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to get 5,200 because, I would be able to trade, what, like three games with you? Nah.
Right.
I'll keep my 2,600 with, the 100 games I have access to on it. And none of the other kids ever got a 5,200 in the neighborhood except for that one kid.
I'm sorry.
Not that we didn't want it, but, man, those things were actually pretty expensive at the time, you know?
Oh, they were. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's almost 9:30.
It's state of the art.
So anyway.
Yes, I must leave.
Yes, Mitch. Sorry, guys, for ending this short. I know Susie has a show coming up. I like to...
Well, yeah,
yes,
I'm
and I would like to go potty
so.
Before the show starts.
Yes.
We'll all right. Call it a night.
Good show tonight, guys. Good show tonight. Maybe next week we talk about video games on air.
Okay.
Talk about our favorite video games from back in the day.
Retro gaming show.
That's right. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
I get the phone to freaking finally die, and now it keeps booting itself back up.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I swear I'm going to throw this phone against the freaking wall.
All right.
Did you hear me? I'm going to throw you against the wall.
No, not that. All right. I'm going to end the show. Good show, guys. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week on Save City of Heroes Radio. And Susie, if you do the honors, say goodnight, Susie.
Goodnight, Susie.
Yep.
Hey.